Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
To be the man.
You gotta be the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio for this Tuesday, March 1st. Yes, March is here. College basketball addicts are jumping up and down going, it's tournament time! And we're 33, if I remember the calendar right, 33 days away from the granddaddy of them all, the biggest event in sports history and entertainment until next year, WrestleMania 27. I'm Alan Wojcik. During this evening, you'll hear different voices. Spug will be joining us eventually. He is at Friday Night SmackDown's live taping in Cleveland this evening. Mace from Russell Talk Radio, Otaku Talk Live, and a bunch of other really cool places will also be popping in from time to time. If you are here because you heard some gentleman named Jerry Lawler is going to be here, he is going to be here. He's going to be here in the 10 o'clock hour. So don't leave. Don't hang up. Don't disconnect from us at all because we do have some cool guests at 9:30. The current ASW Florida Tag Team Champions and the duo that just won the Vintage Wrestling Tag Team titles this past Saturday at Marcade in Central Florida, Eddie Torres and Eric Cooper, The Uprising, will join us. We may possibly have Jessica Havoc from WSU at 9 o'clock. So write this number down now if you want to get involved with Jerry the King Lawler at 10 o'clock, 267-297-1397. Now, if you're also a part of Skype, like Mace and I, Sir Rock and our executive producer is, Spug's part of Skype as well, you can add Sir Rockin' two words, and that's how you get in with us. Music tonight, since he is a Hall of Famer, I figured, hey, let's do Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Music Night. So if you're a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan, we pick some of the best in the business. This March 14th, there in Cleveland, going in is Alice Cooper, Neil Diamond, Dr. John, Darlene Love, Tom Waits. In the non-performers category, Jack Holzman and Art Roop. And in the sidemen category, the legend of Leon Russell. So we'll talk WWE Hall of Fame later on. We'll talk a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll talk about some dancing people, some showgirls, and other fun stuff as well. As we wait for Jessica Havoc to possibly call in, I bring in Mace because we're going to open with 3-3-11. Yeah, if you watched all of TNA Impact this week, you saw this whole shocking, it was going to shock everyone, Mace. That was the thing. Don't miss the end of Impact because it's going to shock you. And I'm going, what the heck could possibly shock us? We've been watching for 8 years. And sure enough, guess who's possibly back this Thursday? Now remember, we're spoiler free. As much as Spug wanted to jump up and down and scream and shout, I want to talk about it, I want to talk about it. We can't. I can't do it. I can't break the 12th commandment of the show. But just seeing this video at the end, Mace, was your initial thought mine of copycats, you copycat bastards, how dare you? Couldn't you come up with an original idea? Or did you sit there going, okay, I'm intrigued?
I actually sat there going, hey, this will prove my theory right. As many people know, I've had this theory for the last few weeks that when TNA does something, it's the most horrible travesty, they're trying to be like WWE. Rah, rah, rah. Yes, that is somewhat true in this case, but at the same time, we're getting the same style promo with quite possibly the guy everybody wants to see, but because it's not WWE, it's not good enough.
Yeah, and I don't understand that either, but as we'll see this Thursday night, Jeff Hardy will be defending the TNA World Championship. We do know some of the matches are ready for this Thursday, and we're going to talk about this past Thursday as well. Beer Money is going to be defending the World Tag Titles against the recently signed Gunner and Murphy. That's why Phil Shatter dropped the National Championship to Jersey Girls' favorite man, Chance Profit. Velvet Sky is going to take on Sarita in a career-ending match. Hernandez will get his hands on Matt Morgan. Apparently, Hulk Hogan will be making a return. We do know that NFL star from the New York Jets, Bart Scott, is scheduled to be upon the program. And, of course, the wedding of the decade again. As Jeff and Karen Jarrett walk the aisle. Yay. And have Kurt Angle give it away. Now, we've had enough weddings in the past. I was at SummerSlam 91, which was the wedding of the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, who I think at that point were actually in real life close to being divorced. And then, of course, at the after party, that was not seen by the live audience, but if you saw it on Primetime Wrestling and other stuff, it was the launch of the feud with Jake Snake Roberts with Snakes and The Undertaker and all that fun stuff. And, of course, we talked about the Billy and Chuck wedding a while back. And then SoCal Val was kind of close to walking down the aisle with Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt and all this stuff. And then we had, of course, the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and the late Andrew Martin Test. Is this just like back in the day when Kiss came on Nitro and had the worst set ever? Is this just like show killer material?
Most definitely. I've never been a big fan of these wedding angles because if there's two things that really don't work in wrestling, no matter how hard you try, it's weddings or pregnancies.
Yeah, because then you get hands coming out of places that you don't want them to come out of. This past Thursday's in... Go ahead.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was Snitsky or somebody who ended up after Lita thing, punt the baby.
Oh, yeah. Lita and Kane. It was another wonderful fun. And then marrying Matt Hardy, getting involved. And it's like, enough with the damn weddings. As you noticed this week, fans, we had the Jarretts once again, as it was used to be called in the Nashville days. My friends like Jimmy Daniel and Trent Van Dries and LaVon DeBell used to call TNA when we lived in Nashville, Total Nonstop Jarrett. And this week was proof of it because the Jarretts met a dress designer, a minister, a tailor, I think a caterer got involved. It was like, what the heck? Oh, yeah, there was wrestling on the program. I mean, it was interesting to see. As I said, Beer Money did they didn't compete, but they drank. And we got to witness Gunner and Murphy in their first contracted match, defeat Eric Young and Orlando Jordan. We did have Crimson defeating Magnus. We had Madison Reigns open challenge answered by, that's right, she's back. At least for the 1 week. I don't know if she's back full time, but, your favorite AA sponsor, I mean that kiddingly because I love her to death, ODB made her a return. Yeah, he's just like, can they get any, as Taz said, can they get any bigger?
She's smuggling midgets.
We did have a recap of Hulk Hogan's legal issues, and as noted on 3-3, the Hulkster will be in attendance in Fayetteville. So will Dixie Carter and some lawyers, possibly Judge Wapner, or Judge Judy, or Judge Mankiewicz, I don't know. We did have Devon come out and apologize to his kids. Bully Ray retorts, and sure enough, guess who's back? Also kids, that's right, Tommy Dreamer's back. So it looks like possibly either at the two events that were taped in Fayetteville, we'll see Tommy Dreamer involved in this feud, or we'll even see him go to Victory Road. The weirdest part of this, we had another number one contender match. Now, is this number one contender to get to Victory Road or to 3-3? We weren't told, because they kind of left it really vague. But once again, Mr. Anderson is your number one contender, defeating RVD and Kurt Angle, thanks to your friends and mine, the Jarretts. So, does this bother you that we're just going right back to Anderson having this happen, or is this a situation where you're going to TNA? You know, you've got this really big butt roster. Why don't we use it as opposed to the top three or four pieces of the puzzle? Because we'll talk about WWE in a second, and I'll let Mace answer here, but when we talked about WWE last week and the reliance on John Cena to go into that, do you think that possibly could happen here with TNA as they go, well, you know, we kind of owe Anderson, and we've got this huge roster, we'll stick with Anderson, and is it time to move Anderson on or move him into another feud, or are you fine with him, and the listeners as well listening, are you fine with him going back at Hardy again?
This really confuses the hell out of me. Like, straight out, everybody knows I'm not a big Anderson supporter, but I don't understand why they took the title belt to put it on Jeff. Once again, you know, we still have the crackhead kid possibly going to jail. It's just a matter of when nowadays. And then you're putting Anderson straight back in the number one contender spot. Yeah, I know he's supposed to have his rematch, but he's also won a number one contendership, and then you've got what happens next week, and the... Oh, my brain hurts!
We'll get you an ice pack, or ice cream, as David Lagana found out. Not only do we have the best interviews in the business, we have the best ice cream! And if you don't believe us, go to Wild Talk Radio's Twitter account, and you'll see a twit pic that was sent to us by David Lagana currently after our show. As soon as I was watching Impact, I'm sitting there going, can I get Lagana in a flight there? I mean, the ROH I pay-per-view is really cool, but get him to Florida. I don't get it. I really don't. Was it? And the best part of this all was they hype this Ric Flair versus AJ Styles, and I'm going to get you in this. Okay, hold on. Flair comes out. Flair's still dressed. Why is Flair still dressed? I'll tell you why. Because this thing never happened. It turned into a talk show. It was like watching Flair for the Gold back in the day. And all of a sudden, it's, I'm going to beat you up, Ric Flair, and sure enough, We train. It seems like Ric Flair is now doing like this mentor program. You be my enforcer for a little while, and then you get to move along. You know, Matt Morgan was the enforcer for a while, and Rob Terry is the enforcer for a little bit. And Tony McGammy started on Rob Terry, and everything else that's gone on. And now it's Sean Hernandez. Hatsa Fernandez is involved as the enforcer. It's just like, you know, Flair, come on, you're 60-something years old, you're the 700-time world champion, can't you handle AJ Styles by yourself? You talk a great game, Nate, you know, back it up, please.
Yeah, it'd be nice, but hey, you know, they seem to... The Ric Flair is a complete cowardly heel. That wasn't the case once upon a time. He was the cowardly heel that was doing it for manipulation reasons.
Oh, yeah.
There was always a method to Flair's madness, or in this case, his cowardice. But TNA, as usual, seemed to botch up another character.
And that seems to be a recurring theme. And as for those of you that are brand new to this show, definitely write radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. If you have seen Desmond Wolfe, his friends and family miss him. I don't buy that he's injured. I don't buy that he was at the taping, but they didn't use him. Find the man. There's a storyline waiting for him. That, I mean, put him out there, for God's sake, as opposed to what we're going to see this coming Tuesday, or sorry, Thursday, that former Jersey Shore cast member, and if I get her last name wrong, I'm sorry, Angelina Pivarnevic, whoever. I don't
Angelina.
Know who she is. Yeah, I don't know who she is, nor do I care who she is. But I have to.
Another dumb brunette with fake boobs.
Yeah. Well, apparently she will be joining TNA for 2 episodes of Impact that'll air this Thursday and the following Thursday. This announcement came from a press release issued by TNA. Yes, they actually released them earlier this past week. She is obviously the second member of the Jersey Shore show to appear on TNA's flagship event following the appearance of Jey Wow, and hopefully this girl learned how to grab Becky Bayless's head and put it down properly on a mat, as opposed to Becky, or known as Cookie, having to take her own 2 hands and put them behind her head and slam it back and forth. She apparently will be alongside Robbie E and Cookie on this event. And this we will give away because TNA gave it away in their own thing, that she is apparently going to challenge Miss Jey Wow, who apparently is an author. I think her real name is Jennifer Farley, and she has a book out. I saw it in Borders the other day, along with the Snooker, Snooky, Cookie, whatever that girl's name is that they're making fun of. I mean, no, you're bringing in these people. You're bringing in Bart Scott, who probably due to his National Football League contract is hands-off, as we found out when Adam Pac-Man Jones came in a few years ago and somehow won the NWA, TNA, whatever organization, World Tag Team Championships. Which screams once again, Mason, we had this talk when Jey Wow, whatever her name is, was here. This is a company that is paying X amount for these people to come in, but aren't paying the girls that are actually on this roster. This just irks me, and for fans that aren't aware, if you're new to our show, both Mace and Spug at one point or another are involved in professional wrestling. Mace being in Australia, he is a trained wrestler, he has competed, he also referees from time to time. Spug is a professional wrestler. I've been covering wrestling for 10 years and have friends still in the business. And this really bothers me, you know, to see, you know, Mercedes Martinez and Angel Orsini, who are 2 of the best in the business, can't get jobs in TNA wrestling or WWE, but this girl, who, because she was on this Jersey Shore show, can walk right in the door and get an appearance fee of $10,000 or $15,000. Does this bother you at all, Mace?
It does, because I want to adopt Mercedes Martinez. She's awesome.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be, she's actually on this Saturday. There is another iPay-per-view. This is WSU's 4th anniversary event, since we brought up, we were supposed to have Jessica Havoc, but I guess that's not going to happen. It was a real last minute thing. So, yeah, 4th anniversary show. Go ahead.
But yeah, sorry to disrupt your plug.
You're cool.
You know, we love to plug stuff here, but there's always a time and a place that's known as the end of the show.
Yeah.
It does, because, you know, there's plenty of great female talent out there. All you gotta do is sit down and watch an episode of WSU's pay-per-views, or you go and watch Shimmer. There's a lot of real good female wrestling talent out there, and TNA was known at one point as the place to watch female wrestling, proper female wrestling, not glittered up models that have been pumped so full of plastic that Barbie's going, damn. You know, so when they bring in these people from Jersey Shore, and from what I've been told, Jersey Shore is on at the same time as Impact.
Believe
so
it or not,
that makes absolutely no. Yeah, it makes no point. You know, you're not going to attract the Jersey Shore crowd to watch Impact because they're going to be watching Jersey Shore.
Yeah, and we ran into that actually when the Jey Wow segment was on. It was actually in the 10 o'clock hour, so. I'm just like, let me get this right. You want me to, what are you expecting these people to do? I get the idea of drawing the casual wrestling fan in, or even the non-wrestling fan. WWE's done it for years, having celebrities come in. They had Money Mayweather a couple years ago at WrestleMania, that Aki Bono, they've had Donald Trump involved, the tons of hosts. But there's a way to do it right. And from the people that I know that actually do watch the show, and it's obviously doing great for MTV, Maze, because they're renewing it, and I think they're going to Italy now, that this Angelina girl was not even an intricate part of the show and actually left, and in certain TMZ articles and other stuff claimed, like Miley Cyrus is doing about Hannah Montana, the Jersey Shore ruined my life and this and that, but I'm going to make a buck off of it. That's the thing that kind of irks me a lot here, that people like ODB are here for the one time possibly, but the smart ones like Awesome Kong, who hopefully will debut at WrestleMania or after WrestleMania, you know, smell the rotten flesh and go, I'm getting the heck out of here. It just bothers me, and it probably shouldn't. But as you said, there is still talent here. Don't get me wrong, guys and girls that are listening. I'm not ripping on people like Velvet Sky and Angelina Love and Sarita and Tracy Brooks if she decides to stay around, or ODB or Madison Rayne or Tara, Victoria, whatever you want to call her. There is still some great talent here, but WWE, for all the years that they've had the ladies of the Divas division, Maze, they had a hero in Fit Finlay. When we talked to Dutch Mantel, he was the Diva, the Knockouts hero. I don't know if there's one even in the locker room anymore. I mean, it's nice to see them on TV, but are they even being used properly?
Current Knockout talent in TNA, still haven't seen Winter actually do anything besides one tag team match and then act like a emotionless, I don't know, stone statue. I don't know. If the girls, yeah, if the girls aren't acting catty or, you know, bitchy to each other, they end up having no personality. So I don't know what the hell happened in TNA, but, you know, fix it. Do something. Bring back women's wrestling. I actually enjoy it.
Yeah, and at least it's unlike when they first started, because for a while there, when you had just Gail Kim and you had just Jacqueline Moore in there, some of the girls didn't have any character to them, and then you had the beautiful people set up, and you had ODB come in, and the fans are wondering, is ODB really like that? Yes, she's really like that in real life. She's really that much a fun party person. And then
she
had
no surprise whatsoever when it comes to ODB.
Yeah, exactly. You had some you have characters there, but it's a situation of, you know, how are you going to use them properly? I mean, is there going to be possibly a situation where, the ratings for this show surprisingly are decent, considering that, I mean, there's people in our chat room who are watching American Idol right now, and fans aren't aware of it in the U.S. But on Thursday nights from 8 to 10 Eastern, for the last hour of American Idol, they're head-to-head with TNA Wrestling. So surprisingly, TNA Wrestling isn't taking a humongous hit, but I would think you would want to go back to, you know, certain places like WCW and look what they used to do in the first hour when their egos didn't get out of control. And in the first hour of your show, don't give the fans a reason to leave. And you're possibly having, I mean, this show opened like almost every other show. You had Anderson come out for a promo with RVD interrupting and fighting, and Eric Bischoff setting up main events, and no, it's not a crime, last I checked, to actually open a wrestling program with wrestling. A little weird concept, I guess.
Hey, well, our good friend Dave Lagana always says it best. I want wrestling. Yeah, sick of promo starts.
Yeah, and you can have ice cream with your wrestling as well.
And make sure you buy it, or else you have no opinion.
Exactly, and we'll also talk about later, a little later on, we'll talk about something that Spug Mace and I bought, which was UFC's 127 event, which I was watching in between the stuff on the ROH anniversary show. Congrats, Roderick Strong, for defending his championship once again, defeating the notorious 187 Homicide. The Kings of Wrestling, I do believe, retained their championships, defeating the All Night Express, Rad Titus and Kenny King. Hopefully, we'll see that match down the road again. We do apparently have, before we go to break, we're going to go to break in a couple minutes here, but we did get some interesting stuff. Of all the people to do this, the Honky Tonk Man, on his Facebook page, I believe, has been doing it, and on his Twitter account has been doing it. He's been teasing this. I've got this huge scoop, and his scoop was that a former WWE executive or personality that worked for TNA Wrestling was going to be leaving and going back to WWE. Well, the ball hit the ground today, and it apparently Jimmy Hart is going to be at Fan Access at WrestleMania 27. So I guess either A, Jimmy Hart's contract elapsed, or he's tired of being around Hulk Hogan, or who, I'm not really sure. It's just like, I know his role in TNA for the longest while was to, you know, get the crowd going. And I think he was working Gorilla for a little while with Bruno Sassi and Big Tilly. I mean, does this shock you that someone like Jimmy Hart, who all these years has been Hulk Hogan and, you know, I'm with the Hulkster brother and now is going back home, so to speak?
Not really. It's Jimmy Hart. Yeah, he was one of the great managers back in the day, but these days he's just a producer, and to be honest, I think he's mainly the music producer of any company he's a part of, so I don't think it'd be a big loss, but, you know, if he wants to go to WWE and make himself some WWE money, go for it.
I wouldn't mind seeing him going to the Hall of Fame. He was one of the better managers of the 80s with the Hart Foundation.
Wasn't he already in there?
I'm trying to remember. I don't know if anyone can remember it. I can't remember if he's in. There's so many people in that darn place that I'm not 100% sure. I would have liked to have seen him go in with the actual Hart Foundation back in the day. And we'll talk Hall of Fame a little while after. We'll talk it with Jerry Lawler at 10 o'clock, and we'll talk it after Jerry Lawler when we do WWE News. I agree with you that he's missed. He may be more missed in a backstage setup because he is very knowledgeable. He goes back to the Memphis days, Jim. He was a part of Lawler's.
Jimmy Hart is in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
He is in the Hall of Fame. Okay,
I'm trying to find the year, but I can't find it. WWE site, you fail me.
Yeah, Jersey Girl's like, I'm going to find my book. Where's that Hall of Fame book? Hold on. I'm like, slam. Find Brian Shields' encyclopedia. I'm sure it's in there. We're going to possibly have Brian on after WrestleMania. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our first scheduled break of the evening. When we come back on the other side, if you're here because you want to talk with Jerry Lawler, stick around. He will be here at 10 o'clock. But at 9:30, we're going to talk with the ASW Florida Tag Team Champions, the group that recently won the Vintage Tag Team Championships. They're going to be competing this Saturday at Best of the Best, taking on the Emerald Empress, Simon Says, and TNA superstar Jay Lethal. The Uprising will be with us. Stay with us. All My World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back after this.
I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Now, baby, listen, baby, don't you treat me this away. Cause I'll be back on my feet someday.
Don't care if you do, cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good.
Well, I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road. Don't you come back no more.
quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me.
Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Dream dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Somebody give me a goddamn...
Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get wild by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as...
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Barry, Candice LaSalle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Pogi, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman,
and tomorrow,
T.J. Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Matt Hardy, the creator and owner of thehardyshow.com. Make sure to check us out. And you are listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bang, 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 bang
Wow, I feel like I'm back on WCW Monday Nitro back in the day. Welcome back to All My World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, where you can listen to us and other great programs we'll talk about in a few moments. Our call and number always is 267-297-1397. It is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame night, not a Jerry the King of Lawler. Believe it or not, that man is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now would be the legendary Jimi Hendrix Experience, man. And I don't mean Jerome Hendrix, who wrestles here in Florida, the actual Jimi Hendrix. We're going to do some indie stuff before we get to the King. This Saturday, if you live in Orlando, you need to go to the National Guard Armory at 2809 Fern Creek Avenue. We are going to be there with a general admission, doors at 7:30, the bell times at 8. There is a gold ticket meet and greet that goes on at 7. You can go to aswflorida.com to find out about some of the great matches, including one that features the, Emerald Emperor, Simon Says, and TNA superstar Jay Lethal taking on tag team that this past Saturday became the Vintage Tag Team Champions. But for the last few weeks, they've been reigning all over ASW Florida as their tag team champions. I'm talking about the Essential Eric Cooper and the infamous Eddie Torres. They are known as the Uprising. They've taken time from their rigorous training schedule for this event to talk with us, and we're very happy they're here. So thank you for joining us, gentlemen.
What's up, Alan?
That would be Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Eddie. There's Eddie. So the funny part of this thing is, but both of you are from Jersey originally. To Eddie first, did either one of you know each other when you first came to Florida, or was it just something that happened in the last couple of years? You turned and said, "Hey, you're from Jersey. I'm from Jersey. You're from Jersey. Cool. This is awesome. We got Jersey everywhere."
Kind of, a little bit like that. I met Cooper at a mutual promotion, and we met up at ACW. I want to say, I don't know if I'm right, Cooper, you could correct me, I think back in on 05, 06. And, you know, he's from New Jersey, I'm from 06, yeah. So around that time, that's when we met, and, you know, it's a small state, but, you know, usually people from Jersey stick around. He's basically like a town or two away from me. I'm from Newark, so, you know, it kind of clicked. You know, kind of, that's how it is, especially with Jersey boys.
Now, for Eric, I mean, you had actually competed in Jersey for the longest while before you came to Florida. Tell the fans that they don't know about it, where you competed in Jersey. Did you work for Jersey All-Pro, if I'm correct?
I trained there originally for the first couple months before they closed down their school, and then I moved over to the Body Slam Wrestling School. So between Jersey All-Pro, I did Body Slam Wrestling, couple other promotions up in Jersey, nothing too major. So up until about 2007, and then around 2008, I moved down to Florida.
What's your training background for fans that don't know it, Eddie?
Well, I started in 01. I was trained with Paris Martel, which is better known as Frenchie Martin. He was Kino Bravo's old manager in WWE. And basically, I started off with him, and then I started attending in 04 Steve Kern School of Wrestling in Tampa before he went to FCW. So basically, I went to basically I got both training from both wrestlers.
Now, both of you, as you said, have competed on the Florida scene for the longest while. You mentioned ACW, which at one point was run by Ralph Mosca and has had numerous hands in the pot. To Eddie first, and then we'll go to Eric. Definitely a different audience than what you see on Friday nights at Stroker's Billiards, where, yes, it's still a bar atmosphere, but it seemed that the ACW crowd was more wanting the old ECW current combat zone type style. Did that bother you at all? Think I lost them.
No, it didn't bother me. No, not at all. I mean, no, you're here. No, it didn't bother me at all. You know, ACW was trying to bring a whole new, trying to bring some old ECW-style wrestling to a newer and younger generation, especially in the Newport Richey area. The crowd just, you know, they like the hard-hitting, you know, hardcore style, high-flying maneuvers, you know, wrestlers that we had on the roster. So ECW was definitely an environment at the time it was running that gave the crowd what they wanted, and usually what they wanted was the brutality.
Are you fine with that kind of thing, Eric, that it's more the hardcore style than just straight up get in the ring and compete over a championship or a feud, a storyline feud?
Let Eric go.
Come on, Eddie, man.
One at a time, sir.
Anyway, ECW, when I first started there in the summer of 2006, I wrestled Ralph Mosca my first night there. So, of course, he was the hometown guy, and he was known for tables, barbed wire, blood. And, of course, they were just furious at me immediately when I was talking all of that. And the second it did, the crowd exploded. So, but once you got over that crowd more and more every week, you could do pretty much whatever. Eddie can vouch that I've had that crowd ready to riot numerous times. And me and Eddie have killed each other in ladder matches there, like regular one-on-ones. And either way, the crowd is always into everything we've done. It all depends on who you are and what you have to do to get in the ring. But as far as like those, I don't think I've wrestled in front of better fans than ECW, honestly.
Yeah. For fans that aren't aware of it, that promotion just said it had a lot of issues going on. To Eddie first, because said you've been in Florida for the longest time, so you've seen companies like IPW Hardcore and NWA Florida go under, and you've seen FIP have some success, be a part of Pro Wrestling Riot. Tell the fans about the politics that exists here in Florida with something like that. It was that like your, oh crap, did I walk into like the worst experience ever, or I can take this and turn this stuff into a positive as to what I do not want to do with my career, and this is who I want to work for?
Well, I mean, it's basically that's the case. I mean, you know, I turned the negative into a positive. You know, politics, it's, you know, you're going to get it no matter where you go. Certain times it tends to be too much. As far as ECW is concerned, you know, it's very emotion-driven promotion. Everyone at that point really wanted to, you know, in almost every promotion, wanted to, you know, succeed and go far. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, my position was when I first started here in Florida and all the promotions I worked for, including ECW, I just kept my mouth shut, you know, and I just waited for the opportunity to come to me, and I made the best out of them and always came out and tried to have the best match possible despite this certain person didn't like, you know, or getting certain political issues that occurred.
Now, for fans that aren't aware of it, and both of you kind of hinted at it, I'll go to Coop with this one first. When you both started in ASW, it was on different sides of the fence. Eddie had been a fan favorite, and you were a part of the Northeast All-Stars group. Talk about how Eric Cooper joined ASW and how it's different than when you first joined as far as direction-wise and the way you handled Eric Cooper, the character.
Well, actually, I was been in ASW since it started in 2007 when James Legend originally ran it. And so Eddie was too. Me and both have been there since show one. And there's not many people on the roster right now that have been there since show one, which isn't a bad thing at all. But ever since Strokers came and James stepped out, there's been a different direction, not for the worse at all. Don't get me wrong. Both people who run the company have their different views on what should be done and who should be pushed, who should be on top. But pretty much I just step aside through the BS and just do what I do best, and that's either get the crowd to love me, hate me, or steal the show every night.
Now, I guess the same question also kind of goes to Eddie there. How do you feel the promotion has changed since day one? Because we'll break the fourth wall down for a minute. You've been involved in a certain point in getting talent to come into ASW, and you've been involved in certain parts of the creative direction. Do you feel that ASW is a better product than 2007 to today?
It's a different product. You know, it's still good in its own right as it was in 2007. you know, like Cooper said, we both started at ASW together at the same time. And the direction then was just to basically their Games Legends focus was on using the young talent that promotions like ACW and others at the time were not utilizing on and showcased them, plus, you know, some of the experienced wrestlers like me and Cooper. Well, you know, as the time goes by, you know, currently right now, especially, you know, my dealings with the office, you know, wrestling has overall changed in Florida. And, you know, the locker room and the talent has become, you know, a little bit more, you know, they know what they want as far as the career goes, but certain ways of going in is different. The product has changed. It's more interactive. It's more social networking now. So I think that's what changed ASW is basically the interaction between crowd and wrestler talent.
Now, for fans that are aware of it, as I mentioned, Eric was a part of the Uprise, Northeast Stars, which was at one point, I believe, Simon Says, Don Maximo, Shane Swift, Shooter Storm was in there. And then you kind of stepped away, and when you came back, it seemed like Simon was a totally different person. What made you go away for the while, and when you came back, what was your initial reaction when you saw Sez being cheered by the fans?
Honestly, it just made me a little, like, weirded out because I know Simon on a personal level better than a lot of people. So to get those people behind him, it must have took a lot for them to trust him. But there just comes a time when you just have to step out of the wolf pack and just onto your own and realize that you could be the center of attention instead of being with Simon, who, don't get me wrong, has all the ability and talent in the world. Despite in-ring feelings towards him, I have the utmost respect for what he does. Everything in that ring, the way he talks, the way he carries himself, his moveset, everything. Nothing but respect. But just comes a time when you realize you could lead something and be with somebody and just go to that next level. I was just never into fans' approval. So when I came back, I just decided to start something new on my own.
Now, Eddie, as mentioned, was a fan favorite for the longest while, even during his reign as ASW Heavyweight Champion. But there came a time, and I know it's a sensitive area, but explain to the fans what went on with you, Simon Says, and I believe it was your child that led to this change in attitude. Can you talk about that at all?
When ASW was introduced to Strokers, I defeated the first show, inaugural show of Strokers. I beat Josh Masters, who was the current champion at the time. And immediately after that, Simon Says was coming after me in every angle. So, you know, during a altercation, during a match, he decided to confront my child and basically caused him to, you know, he basically got my son to be afraid of him, which caused a big issue, and which was very personal, and which caused, you know, a lot of issues for me and Simon currently. So when I continue to be a fan favorite, continue to be a champion the first time and then the second time, and when Simon came back and he got the type of adoration that he got, I found that to be a, you know, stab in the back, and because here's a man that belittles the crowd, belittles everyone he sees, and here he is, you know, he belittled my, I mean, basically, you know, he terrorized my own child, and then they're cheering for him. So that was a marking point for me to say, you know what, things are going to have to change. And that's where, you know, me and Cooper started seeing eye to eye.
Yeah, and since then, you guys have been a reign of terror on this promotion, winning the ASW tag team titles in controversial fashion, of course. Oh, wait, we actually have a caller, it looks like, who, hello, caller, your name, where you're calling from, and your question for Eddie and Eric, if that's who you're calling for.
Yeah, my name is Simon, and I'm calling from Orlando, Florida.
Hi, Simon, welcome to the show.
How are you?
At this, wait, Simon or Simon Says?
Yeah, this is the same Simon that the Uprise has been demonizing the entire time on your show.
Oh, my God. I didn't plan this. If Eddie and Eric are thinking of killing me at Strokers, if fans aren't aware of it, they tend to...
It's a free country, right?
Yeah, it's
a free country, right? I was never told not to call. You know, this is my second appearance on Online World of Wrestling Radio. The first time I was interviewed about All Star Wrestling and my involvement, and I couldn't help but sit here. I'm sitting here at home and listening to how the things Kubernetes Toys were saying. I'll play Hero Clicks. Your mom is excellent at it, by the way, Coop.
Whoa. Let's keep it PG here, says. I got kids to listen to my show.
Well, you know,
it's ASW. So let's try to keep it clean. Are you calling in to ask these guys a legitimate question, Simon?
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question. Speaking of kids, we brought up the incident between me and Eddie Toler, the son. Eddie, if you recall, if you watched that video, it was your current tag team partner right now that club punched you in the face in the middle of that altercation right before his match with Biff that night. All these instances of my, and I don't know if I can get away with saying this, my douchebaggery in the past. You do remember the fact that Eric Cooper was the one that stood by my side, and Cooper was the one that touched on the fact that there comes a time in your life where you have to step away from the Wolfpack, meaning step away from me. Well, Coop, you pretty much proved to everybody that you can't make it on your own because you stepped out of a group with me and stepped into a group with Sideshow and Eddie Torres. So which is it, son?
I think you've rendered him
I
silent.
Guess Cooper's not going to say anything. I'll retaliate to that. There's no problem to that. I mean, you know, is that your question? Well, hold on. This is our time. Let us talk. You ask a question, I'll answer it. So I'll answer the question. Your association with Cooper at that time frame had nothing to do with the fact Cooper's not the one that went and confronted my child and decided to basically play soon-to-be pedophile like you did. You know what I mean? Basically, you went and you terrorized my son on live ASW video, and you made him, you upset him. So despite the fact that Cooper was associated with you, it's hearsay because that situation has been resolved way long ago. This issue between you and I, that's a constant situation. You don't like me, and I seriously don't like you at all. So that's never going to change. So your question regarding what's the difference between being with Cooper now is that, and Cooper part of the Wolf Pack, as you say, that doesn't change anything. Cooper's with me, and together we are the tag team champions. And last time I checked, you're not holding a belt right now, Simon. You're not holding any AEW gold.
You know, you're talking about the situation with me, Eddie, and you mentioned, you hit the nail right on the head, the situation between you and me is jealousy. You pretty much, without a shadow of a doubt, you blatantly said that it was because of the fact of the reaction I got from the crowd when I came back. I manned up to the stuff I did. I apologized to you. I extended an olive branch and an apologetic handshake, and you took it seemingly, but ultimately you proved, just like Eric Cooper, the kind of worm that you are. When you turned your back on me, you turned your back on the fans, and you did it because you can't stand the fact that the fans embraced me more, on the same level, if not more, than how they ever embraced you.
Oh, well, I mean, that's your opinion, but nevertheless, it's not jealousy. It's basically pointing out the fact that it's about loyalty. The crowd, I entertained ASW crowd longer than you've been there, and they decided overnight to just go ahead and cheer for you. That's against them. That's fine with me, but to trust someone like you is misleading. Even to this day, no matter what, I always tell people, you can never trust Simon Says. And that's something I'm going to stick with the rest of my life. As long as I'm wrestling in Florida, there's never going to be jealousy. There's never going to be some type of, like, oh, I feel like I deserve something you have. I already accomplished so many things in my career. But one thing that I'm looking forward to, and eventually will happen, is I'm looking forward to one day ending your career. That would be the last notch in my career.
Well, that could possibly happen on Saturday. I mean, you guys are facing off in a tag team match, and Jay Lethal seems to be the X factor in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing is going to come to an end on Saturday, and you're going to get a chance to prove to the crowd that you want to end my career. So, Eric Cooper, but I'll tell you what, you know, you say you can't trust me. You say that I'm underhanded. Well, there's not going to be anything underhanded about that match because every punch I hit to your face is going to be right there in your face. Every time I kick you in the head, it's going to be right there. And I'm going to have Jay Lethal by my side. You know, you and Lethal go way back then before there was a Simon Says, before there was a Raging Bull Eddie Torres. You know, you and Jay were doing your thing up north, and you had your problems, Jay Lethal back there too. And it just goes to show you have the record of being that underlining douche, Coop, and, you know, last time I was on this show, I told the fans the relationship between you and me, Coop, and you spoiled that everything, every bit of it. And yeah, I always had that respect for you, and you threw that away at the anniversary show of AEW last September. So the bottom line is, this is what I have to tell you. It's not me being cocky. It's not me being conceited. It's the truth. You can't stand the fact that I've been doing this half as long as you have, and I'm twice as popular as you are. That's what it boils down to with you and me. Coop, I don't know what your deal is. I know what happened between us and the Northeast All-Stars. I thought everything was cool when I came back. We talked in the locker room the night that you decided to spring this whole dilemma on me, this whole drama. Everything was cool in the locker room until I don't know what got in your brain. I don't know who got in your ear. It must have been Eddie Torres, because the entire time Eddie was chumming up to me, was being buddy-buddy. I guess he was planning this whole thing, so... This Saturday night, the National Guard Armory, this whole thing is going to come to us. It's going to be graphic. It's going to be tense. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be a whole lot of things. And one way or another, something's got to give. But I'll tell you one thing, whether it's Eddie Torres or whether it's Eric Cooper, I'm going to be the one victorious. Jay and I are going to be the ones to hold our hands up high. And that's not just what Simon promises. That's not just what Simon guarantees. That's not even what Simon says. Coop and Eddie, that's just fact. So I'll see you guys Friday night at Stroker's Village in Tampa, Florida. And I'll see you on Saturday night at the National Guard Army for Best of the Best.
All right, there you heard it. Simon says, thanks for calling in. We're going to keep Eddie and Eric for another couple minutes here. Strong words from Simon says, but let's not look past him yet, gentlemen. We'll go to Eric first. And I apologize. I did not know he was going to call in. You guys have a match this Friday night. You got to defend the belt against the Latin Assassin. So hopefully neither one of you are looking too far ahead, or am I?
We'd never. You want me to talk about this first, Alan?
Go ahead.
You see, Gus Money and Mike Cruz they're a high flyer. They're a great tag team. Don't get me wrong, but they're about to run into a dead end. Because me and Eddie Torres, for the past 2 or 3 years now, have been considered in the top 10 heavyweights in the state of Florida. And the fact that we're together unleashing our wrath and fury and whatever hatred we have built up inside of us on every tag team that steps in front of us, it does not suit well at all to the Latin Assassins. And I feel bad for them Friday night, because I have a lot of hatred going into this match Saturday. A lot of people don't know this, but me and Jay Lethal trained together in 2001 and 2002. So a lot of stuff in my life is coming full circle Saturday night. So there's a lot of hatred and built-up aggression inside of me that's coming out on these 2 days, Friday and Saturday this weekend. So Florida wrestling fans, you're going to see a lot of stuff this weekend, so I suggest you come out to the shows.
Anything you want to add to that, Eddie, before we let you go? Thoughts on this Friday night?
Cooper said it best. I mean, you know, this Saturday... You see, Simon had to go on the air and he had to go in and bust his promo about Saturday. Well, we have our own little plan of attack on Saturday. Friday, you know, the point is the Last Stands are the former tag team champions for a reason. We are the new, we are the next big thing for AFW. We are the tag team champions. So going to Saturday is the only thing that's important to me and Cooper. You talk about 20 years of experience here between me and Cooper going into Saturday at AFW Best of the Best against Simon Says. And, of course, TNA superstar Jay Lethal. We all have history. It's basically going to be bound to us, all four in one square circle, just going at it. It's going to be pure chaos.
You heard it there, as they mentioned, and I'll mention it again. It is this Saturday. Don't forget, if you live in Tampa, you can come out every Friday night to Stroker's Billiards, or it's only $5 admission. So definitely come out for that event. And don't forget, get in the car this Saturday. It is in Orlando, aswflorida.com, Orlando National Guard Armory, 2809 Fern Creek Avenue. Not only will you see the ASW tag team titles defended, you'll also see in a triple threat match the brand new champion, Biff Slater, the heavyweight champ, taking on the former champion Aaron Kanye Epic and the marquee Bruce Hantee. Jesse Neal will be in the house. SoCal Val will be in the corner of the uprising, if that's not a cool
right.
enough reason to come out. Tracy Brooks will be there. Wildcat Chris Harris will be there. The former AWA World Tag Team Champions, the Heartbreak Express. Thank you guys for stopping by tonight, and we'll see you Friday night at Stroker's Billiards. Coming up after the break,
right,
fingers crossed, This is so cool.
Blimey, New York.
Jerry the King Lawler will be with us. Coming up after the break. We'll be right back on World of Wrestling Radio.
Passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
If you're looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While WrestleTalk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for WrestleTalk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996. Things
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. Three to get ready, now go, cat, go. But don't you step on my blue suede shoe.
Welcome back to All My World of Wrestling Radio in the second hour here. We are honored. We are blessed. We are truly happy to have us for a couple moments here. He's got a very busy schedule, so we're happy to have him on. He is the current Hall of Famer. He has held more championships than anyone in the business. And this Wednesday evening, for the first time in history, himself and Brian Christopher will take on Jamie Dundee and the legendary superstar Bill Dundee at the Evansville Memorial Coliseum. Jerry the King Lawler is with us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Thank you so much for taking some moments out of your busy schedule.
You sound so overjoyed to have me. I don't think I've ever heard anyone sound as ecstatic as your voice is there.
Oh, no, no. He sounds like that all the time, Mr. Lawler, no matter who it is.
Kidding.
I guarantee you, we are all absolutely ecstatic that you took the time out of your day to join us and spend a few minutes with us. Now, I just wanted to ask you real quick. I'm sorry, but you have held more titles than anyone in the history of the business. How does it feel to have that many titles under your belt, more than some match totals that guys have today?
Oh gosh, guys! And to be honest with you, I know this sounds funny, and I know a lot of it, like, I tell people this sometimes, and they say, "Yeah, right." But I really never think about it. I think I've been as successful as I've been in this profession because I don't take it too serious. I just, you know, if I win a title or if I lose a title, you got to realize for every one of those titles that I won, which is what 100 and way more than 100, you got to realize I lost every one of them as well. You know, so I don't really think that much about it. It's just, I was shocked. I guess the coolest thing about it was I was shocked to see that the WWE actually acknowledged that, because sometimes, you know, and rightfully so, if it didn't happen in the WWE, you know, why would they feel the need to mention it? But, I was real pleased that, you know, along with when I was inducted in the Hall of Fame and just recently in the WWE magazine and some of the commentary, they've mentioned it quite often.
Hey, you Hello? Know, we're here. You know, I want to throw it over to the host of this show, Alan, for a moment, the guy who always sounds enthusiastic to be everywhere. But I wanted to ask again, just right fast to get your opinion. I know you're a giant Cleveland Indians fan. And a Cleveland sports fan in general. Are you happy with Pat Shurmur, and what do you think about the fact that we don't have a left-handed pitcher in our starting rotation this year?
Well, you know, I am a long-time, die-hard Cleveland sports fan. Maybe not so much basketball, because as a kid I didn't really play basketball, so I never got too much into the Cavaliers. I did follow him when LeBron was there a little bit, but only because I knew that LeBron was a huge WWE fan, and I'd met him several times. But I'm a lifelong Indians and Browns fan, and I've lived and died with those guys over the years. And, unfortunately, we're just at a time right now, I feel like the Indians, where, you know, I don't know how committed the ownership is to spending enough money to put a winning team on the field. It's almost like we're looking at a glorified minor league team that they're putting out there with the payroll. I mean, that's basic. You know, you get what you pay for, and, you know, I think they got the second lowest payroll in Major League Baseball.
Now, was it your choice to follow Cleveland because there was no bigger other sports teams around the Memphis area and you grew up, or what was the attraction to the Cleveland Indians and the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, well, I, of course, born and first part of my life raised in Memphis, and you're right, we had no professional sports team there. But when I was 8 years old, my dad, with his job, got transferred to a little town about 25 miles west of Cleveland. So we moved up there, and we stayed there for 8 years, from the time I was 8 to the time I was 16. And, you know, it was during that era, it was a really good Cleveland team. Jim Brown was playing, Roger Salavito for the Indians, and it was like, you know, I got to see my first Major League Baseball game at the old Cleveland stadium and my first NFL football game. So then when we moved back to Memphis 8 years later, this is still no pro sports team, so I just stayed a Cleveland sports fan.
We've got numerous questions in our chat room. We're going to go through them super duper fast. One of our weekly contributor is Phil Strum of the Poughkeepsie Journal, wanted to know, we've had many celebrities go into the WWE Hall of Fame. How would you feel if the WWE came to you and said, we want you to induct the late Andy Kaufman in for all of the stuff that went on during the Memphis days? Would that be something that would shock you, or do you think that's not the way the WWE Hall of Fame should go?
No, it wouldn't shock me at all. As a matter of fact, I've lobbied for that for the last couple of years. I think, I think Andy would be a tremendous inductee, and you know, in the celebrity wing, or however they would want to involve Andy. I think it would be a natural, and who better to induct him than me? You know, I mean, I don't know if the only other guy I could think of that was really around him at all during that time was Jimmy Hart, but. I think that he would be a very fitting inductee. I mean, we've got like Bob Uecker's in there and Pete Rose and guys like that. And, you know, Andy was just as involved in wrestling as those guys.
Yeah, well,
just a quick follow up on the Andy Kaufman bit there. During your filming of Man on the Moon, there was word going around that how close Jim Carrey got Andy Kaufman. As somebody who knew the man himself, how close did Jim get to the real Andy Kaufman?
I mean, that looks like surprised a lot of people, but in my own opinion, I don't think he wasn't even anywhere in the ballpark. I mean, you know, knowing Andy like I did, you know, he was not strange, he was not weird, any of the unusual things that Andy did with every one of those to a number were performances. I mean, Andy was a normal, meek, mild, respectable guy that showed a ton of respect to me. Never called me anything other than Mr. Lally, and Andy and I were the exact same age. And he loved wrestling, and he just wanted to be around it any way he could. But Jim Carrey, on the other hand, you know, I think that I don't know if he did the proper amount of preparation for this movie. You know, I even asked the director, Milos Forman, at one point in the filming. I said, "Man, did this guy even? Has Jim Carrey even read the script? I mean, does he not realize that Andy and I were always, you know, there wasn't always animosity between the two? Because as we were filming, Jim Carrey was like, you know, I guess you might call it method acting. He was like trying to channel Andy Kaufman. He wanted to do everything that Andy did in real life. So he acted all throughout, you know, throughout all the filming of the movie, like a big jerk towards me. I mean, you know, he did some stupid, childish things to try to provoke me. And the other reason I thought he never read the script was because I guess he didn't realize that one of the last scenes that we shot was when I got to slap him, like on the David Letterman show. So I got the last laugh there because I slapped about three times harder than Andy Kaufman.
When we had Dutch Mantel on a few weeks ago, he took questions from our audience on that incident. And one of the things we asked him was, were you surprised, and this was to Dutch, that all these years later, it's still one of the most talked about. I mean, Hollywood Reporter and a lot of Hollywood publications had it as one of the most 100 memorable moments of television when you appeared on Letterman. Do you think in this era of the 24-hour news cycle, and almost it seems like the 24-second news cycle, you and Andy Kaufman and Jerry Jarrett and everyone, could you have pulled off something like that today in the WWE universe?
You know, I think it would be difficult today because of, like you said, you know, the with the cable and with satellite TV and with so many media outlets and news outlets and that sort of thing. I think one of the things that made that so unique was the fact that, you know, here was this small, basically local promotion down in Tennessee suddenly getting worldwide coverage, which was just completely unheard of back in that particular day, you know. And today, worldwide coverage is a given. It's so taken for granted. I mean, you know, the WWE is on now in over 130 countries worldwide. You know, we're on in China. We're on in India. And, you know, WWE programming is seen every week by 500 million people around the world. So that it would be, I think, next to impossible to generate that same kind of excitement and interest in something like that today.
Now, for fans that have been watching Monday Night Raw for the last couple of weeks, the anonymous general manager and Michael Cole have been putting you in situations. Take fans through it if you can. Because unfortunately, we also wanted to offer our condolences in the passing of your mom. Was it difficult to go into that Monday Night Raw that Cole called you into the ring and have that situation of using your mom as a reference point to piss you off, basically? Did you have any issues with that?
Well, you know, it was pretty borderline. You know, and I had to really process in a hurry exactly what he said. I mean, if you saw me before I grabbed him by the nape of his neck there, I just really quickly went over what he said and right before that. And you know, he prefaced it by saying no disrespect. And then in reality, he didn't say anything derogatory about my mother at all. He was directing the comment to me and just asking me the question, did I feel like I let my mother down by not winning the WWE Championship? But you're right, just the mere fact that he used my mom in that context was enough to, I know it, yeah, he pretty much enraged me, and it certainly did millions of the WWE universe, I think, in general. I can't even tell you. I can't begin to tell you how much response I've had. And the people just seem to, I mean, I don't think there's anything bad enough that I can do to Michael Cole at this point that will satisfy all of the people after what they've seen and heard him do.
Were you
just real quick, Mr. Lawler, with the individuals like Vicky and Michael Cole becoming heels in the forefront, and you essentially writing the book on what it was to be the mouthy, outspoken heel, do you think that individuals who have not been in the ring or gone through, you know, having to test the waters with the crowd can overdo it at times like they do and try too hard?
I don't know. I think you lost me somewhere back there around Vicky Guerrero. I'm sitting here with a lovely young lady at the moment, and you got the most beautiful eyes that you've ever seen, and it's hard for me to concentrate on what you guys are saying right now. So she's got these beautiful blue eyes, and I think right now I'm lost at sea, if you know what I mean. But what was the question again? And I got time for about one more.
With heels today, you know, got individuals like Michael Cole, Vicky Guerrero, even The Miz, and you essentially writing the script on what it was to be the mouthy, outspoken heel. Do you think that they can go overboard or try too hard to get the proper heat and essentially get the wrong kind of heat by doing it?
Well, I don't know what you mean by wrong kind of heat. The people, you know, that's up to the fans decide who they like and who they dislike, who they're going to cheer for and who they're going to boo. And you know, we're not like the other sports like baseball and football where you have a home team that's automatically the town's heroes and every team that comes in to play against the home team are the people they boo. It's different. So we go by, our fans judge who they want to cheer for and who they want to boo by the person or the character's personality. And, you know, hey, Michael Cole and Vicky Guerrero project a personality that not many people could warm up to. And so, you know, hey, I think a lot of the And it's very, I think, in sports entertainment, it's very important that the people either really like you a lot or they really dislike you a lot. Because if you're in that gray area in between, that means they really don't care one way or the other. So if they don't care, they're not going to, certainly not going to buy a ticket to come to see you, or they're not going to, you know, enjoy sitting there watching you perform. So I think everybody needs to, I think a lot of these younger guys should I think they're getting it's like a free college that they're getting to go to here by seeing and listening to Vicky Guerrero and Michael Cole. And I think a lot of these guys should just say, hey, wow, look what they're doing and look how they're doing it. And, you know, could that work for me? Maybe I could try that. You know, that's what having a veteran presence. This is where the WWE is, just like any other sport. I mean, you know, Major League Baseball. You want a good young team, and you want a lot of rookies or this young talent there. But you also want that veteran presence in the locker room or in the dugout on the team, in football or baseball, because these guys lead by example. These veterans and the younger guys, you know, they learn by watching and seeing how these guys that have been successful in the past, how they do it. And you know, WWE is no different.
Yeah. Before we let you go, this past night, you found out that Jack Swagger is going to be in the corner of Michael Cole. Do you care after all of this who his guest referee is? He claimed that the SmackDown taping tonight, we're going to give it away to the fans, that he will announce this Monday. I mean, short of it being the ghost of Andy Kaufman or someone from your past, what are your thoughts on this whole situation that Cole's got a referee in his pocket along with a former world champion training him?
Guys, I'm going to tell you, just like I hope Michael Cole realized when I told him this past Monday, I don't care who he brings with him. You know, I don't care if it's King Kong, Godzilla, and Superman all rolled into one. I'm just happy to have, after 18 years with the WWE, my first ever opportunity to compete at a WrestleMania. Where, you know, if it's against Michael Cole, so be it. I'm competing at WrestleMania. That's all I was in this for, and you know, once I've got the match, so once I get to WrestleMania, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to make sure that I didn't waste the opportunity that I've waited 18 years for.
You heard it here first. Thank you so much to the legendary Jerry the King Lawler. If you're in Evansville tomorrow night, get to the Evansville Memorial Coliseum to see. I can't believe when I talked to you last week, that in all of the years of this feud, this is the first time that the Sons are going to be involved. Is this just like something you never would have imagined, that you'd be teaming with Brian to take on the Dundees like this?
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes things get said and sometimes things get claimed that may not be 100% accurate. I honestly can't remember, but I'm like you. I'm hard pressed to believe that this is going to be the first time that the four of us have ever been in the ring together. I think it may have happened somewhere else along the line, but maybe not. Who knows? Anyway, it's going to be a good match between almost like two wrestling families. I don't consider myself a wrestling family. My dad didn't wrestle. I got one son that does, and so that's, you know, two guys. I don't think you can call that a wrestling family. Bill and Jamie Dundee are the same way. You know, it's just a couple of guys, so. Sometimes I think they're making a bigger deal out of this than it really is.
All righty. Thank you very much. Thank you for taking time out from us, and we hope your ankle gets better and you kick Michael Cole's ass at WrestleMania 27 for all of us.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Coming up after the break, we will get into everything that involves WWE. Some matches were added to WrestleMania. Some folks are going into the Hall of Fame. And as you just heard, Jerry the King Lawler is ready to kick Michael Cole's butt at WrestleMania. All in World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
But when I get home,
professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage, Brett
Berry, Janice Michelle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Woogerman,
and tomorrow,
T.J. Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site that throws you online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Sophia Restaurant, may I help you?
Oh, yes. I have things to order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable Hello? Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yes.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
This is Bam Neely from the WWE. You might like me, you might not. You better respect me. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to All I Will of Wrestling Radio. Jerry the King Lawler called in. That was super awesome of him. As mentioned, Coliseum Championship Wrestling has their event at the Evansville Memorial Coliseum. Find them on Facebook or just Bing or search Coliseum Championship Wrestling. And even Jerry Lawler has made fun of my voice, and damn, I'm happy to have that happen. If you weren't aware of it earlier when you called in, Spug has just joined us from Friday Night SmackDown's taping. He's got a voice, so I guess the show was decent?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a really good show. There wasn't... The only real mark-out moment for me was, one, Undertaker was there tonight, and he cut a really, really interesting promo.
Was your husband there?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, no man crush.
No.
Gonna make it from Buffalo to Cleveland.
He wasn't, but Undertaker was there, and the other one was Santino was here.
All right.
The greatest intercontinental champions of all the times.
That is definitely an interesting vision that I have there. For fans that just joined us, sorry you missed us. He can call in if he wants. I don't care. He can call in.
Who can call in?
Phil Strum is with us tonight in our chat room. I'm not sure if Kevin Scott is here. I think he's...
Jamal's not there?
I don't know. I think
Jamal's out getting drunk.
He may be out getting ice cream, because remember, we are the number one ice cream dealer in professional wrestling.
By the way, I must say this. To the individual who emailed, and I'm not going to name names. I've done it all over the network already. But I can't say, my friend, but you got to take it in context. You have to understand that I am probably one of the least racist people on this network. And if you didn't hear the whole thing, then you probably wouldn't understand that it was a joke, especially if you didn't hear the after-show conversation that we had with Kevin Scott, because Kevin Scott knew it was a joke and played along.
Yes, he's actually currently out, I think, with Pookie Ray Ray and Big Steve. So he survived another week of watching TNA wrestling, as we outlined earlier on in the show. We had another induction into this class of 2011 that wasn't on Monday Night Raw, which was surprising considering it was probably the most promo-laden Monday Night Raw.
You're talking about the Bullet Bob?
Yeah, Bullet Bob Armstrong is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Does anybody have a problem with this, or are we okay with Bullet Bob?
Bullet Bob's good.
Go ahead, Mace. I'm sorry.
No, that's pretty much it. Bullet Bob's good. Put him in there. It's another name that doesn't start with Shawn or Michaels.
I'm perfectly happy with Bullet Bob. The only thing that I didn't know when I saw the promo about Bullet Bob going in was that the Road Dog was his son.
Yep, Road Dog, Jesse James Armstrong.
Seriously?
Yeah, Brian Armstrong.
Yep, Brian Armstrong.
I had no idea. I've learned a lot of shit about wrestling that I didn't know this week. Like, I thought I knew, had no idea. No idea. I was like, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Someone needs to take my smart card away.
Yeah, someone who is as smart as he thinks he is. One of the gentlemen from Under the Ring is joining us. Hello there.
Hey, Alan. Hey, guys. How are you?
That would be
Phil
from the Poughkeepsie Journal. Did you get to meet Lawler when you were at NEW?
Yeah, I've actually met him twice. He actually one time interviewed him after a Northeast Wrestling show, and another time I was actually making a trip back from a game I was covering, and then he was actually appearing at Poughkeepsie doing an autograph signing on the same day as an event, too, and I got to talk to him for a few minutes there. Very, very good guy, and very, very loyal to the Northeast Wrestling promotion, too. He's pretty much at all the shots that they do, so.
You know, I believe Shawn Michaels is coming in for them at some point. I think it's not an actual Northeast Wrestling show. Can you talk about that real quick before we get into the Raw and SmackDown chat?
Yeah, he's doing an autograph signing in Middletown, New York for Northeast Wrestling, which I believe is, it's on March 12th, the Saturday. They just, due to overwhelming demand, they actually just added another hour onto his autograph signing, too. So if you want to find out about that, you can go to northeastwrestling.com. I think it's now he's going to be signing there at the Gallery of Crystal Run in Middletown for about 4 hours that day, I believe.
But won't talk to Phil Strum. I'm very upset about this.
Well, you know, he's promoting it the way that honestly, he's Shawn Michaels. He doesn't have to talk to Phil Strum. He can promote things whichever way he'd like to. And they want to test it out and see how it goes, you know, promoting the event through the website and through Facebook and through Twitter. And, you know, it's an autograph signing. There's not much I can say that's going to promote it very well.
We did find out this past Thursday There is a brand new WWE superstar. If you've been to WWE.com, you've seen him plastered everywhere. You knew him as Mystico. You will know him as Sin Cara. Miss Stephanie McMahon actually said, Sin Cara is a tremendous performer who brings the crowd to its feet every time he steps in the ring. With us, his stardom will only get bigger and brighter. At the press conference that was held in Mexico City, Sin Cara said, WWE is the pinnacle of sports entertainment. It is an honor and a thrill for me to be able to perform with the world's best. Being a WWE superstar will present new challenges, new mountains to climb, and new competition. It is a new beginning and a new life. Anyone surprised at this signing? Anybody upset? We'll go to Phil first and then to our other correspondents.
Well, I don't know if he said exactly everything he said, because it was probably said through a translator, because he didn't speak English at all. But,
and a very nice mask.
I'm not surprised at all that they signed him. He's probably, I don't know if he's the top thrower in Mexico, or if he's not, he's among them. Personally, I have not seen him work because I don't follow the promotion that he works for. But everything that I've read about him has been very positive. You know, he doesn't have a lot of size, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that affects him in his WWE run. You know, obviously the guy that he's probably going to be picking up a lot of the mantle from would be Rey Mysterio, who's, you know, getting older and probably, you know, worn down from all the knee injuries he suffered over the course of his career. And, you know, Mystico, Sin Cara, whatever his name is right now, is, you know, a little younger. And, you know, they're very strong in Mexico right now. So, it really serves them well to have guys like Mystico and Alberto Del Rio to, you know, support guys like Rey Mysterio and really have a stronghold in that country.
You know, I think that Mysterio's star in the WWE is fading. He was scheduled to be here tonight, and there's no word on. I didn't hear any word on why he didn't show, because they've been promoting him all week, and he wasn't here. I think his star in the WWE is fading. I don't think it's long before he is gone. And with a guy like Mystico, who is the top talent in Mexico, who has, you know, the masked wrestler appeal, and is another chip in the pocket of Vince McMahon to expand into Mexico and bring in that viewership and that audience. It's smart business, one, but the thing with Mystico is that I think WWE's starting to get that itch to kind of go back a little bit to the high-flying, exciting style, because you're not going to be able to slow a guy like Mystico down. You're not going to be able to take him and say, we wrestle this way and this way only, because then you're going to lose a lot of the appeal from that area that you're trying to gain a foothold in. So I think with the signing of Mystico, you might start to see WWE's own X division start to crop up again a little bit.
And for fans that watched Friday Night SmackDown, Mace, we saw the television return of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Your thoughts on Dusty Rhodes getting involved here? It looks like he's possibly going to be involved in a WrestleMania match with dashing Cody Rhodes and Rey Mysterio. Are you okay with him coming back to TV? I mean, we already have had The Rock and Kane and Triple H, The Undertaker, tons of these legendary figures, and now you've got Dusty coming back.
Who's left to come back? Because so far they seem to have pulled just about everybody out of everywhere they can. As for Dusty Rhodes coming back, it's getting one of the older guys involved in WrestleMania storyline to try and hype it up a bit. It's pretty much
short of them re-signing God, because I don't even know if God was future endeavored.
I don't think he was.
Yeah, but the it's just pretty amazing. He did defeat Kane on last week's SmackDown. We did have the All-American defeat Kofi Kingston, and then, of course, we'll talk Monday Night Raw in a moment. We had Big Show defeat Wade Barrett via countout. And not only is Dolph Ziggler on the unemployment line, thanks to her loss in the tag team match against the world champion Edge and Kelly Kelly, losing with Drew McIntyre and Vicky Guerrero, is fired. Without giving away anything that happened at SmackDown tonight, Spug, are you dancing for joy that Ding Dong the Witch could be dead on Friday Night SmackDown?
Oh, she is. She is. And so is it, so is a certain chosen one. I was speaking of LeBron James.
Oh, that chosen one? We're not talking about the
no.
man.
No,
chosen
no.
one.
You said I can't spoil anything, so I didn't.
Okay, we won't spoil. But as noted, we will have an appearance of the Dead Man this Friday night when you watch on Sci-Fi. We'll also have the contract signing. And as someone who's watched wrestling for a long time, Phil, anytime you hear the words contract signing on a television program, chances are someone's going through a table or a chair or something. This just seems to bode well for the rated R superstar. We've had everybody's opinion on this, and we'll get yours if you've given it before. I apologize, but to our new listeners, the idea of Alberto Del Rio taking on Edge at WrestleMania, take the contract signing thing first, and then Del Rio versus Edge.
Well, you're right about the contract signing. We and obviously I haven't read anything myself yet, but those things rarely go... go well for the babyface, or there's usually some sort of confrontation there. I'm okay with Del Rio and Edge at WrestleMania. It's not going to be the match that's going to draw people to WrestleMania. It's just a match. And in the last few years, we've kind of seen that formula with WrestleMania, where they'll make about four feature matches, and you know, the hoping that you know one of them is going to grab you and bring you in. Right now, obviously, the stuff with The Rock and John Cena and even The Miz, to some extent, is the draw for WrestleMania, I guess, at this point, along with the Undertaker Triple H match. So, Edge and Alberto Del Rio, they'll probably have a great match. I mean, if you saw Elimination Chamber, the last few minutes of that SmackDown Chamber match with Edge and Mysterio were terrific. And, it, you know, Edge is still capable of performing at a pretty high level, and Del Rio has been very, very good for the last few months. So I think that's probably going to be a pretty good 15-20 minute match at WrestleMania. I'm sure we'll get Ricardo Rodriguez. Oh God, his introduction to WrestleMania will probably be fantastic because he, you know, on that big of a stage, he'll probably go nuts. But
I'm a translator for what the heck that guy's saying. Is there anyone in your office that you can send to us to translate for him, Phil? I want that subtitling because you subtitle him on the TV, nothing comes out. I'm like, damn, what's he saying?
You know, even if you put the closed captioning on or SAP. Nothing happened?
Yeah, my clothes, I don't have the SAP. I've been trying to get it to work on the TV, and it looks at me saying, no hablo inglés, so.
I don't know what it was he said. I think it was last week, or maybe that was at the chamber, but there was one week where whatever city he was in, I didn't catch anything else that he said, but he managed to fit in there in a brief moment that the team in the city that he was in was a bunch of losers while he was speaking Spanish, so I thought that was very impressive.
I think it was somewhere in California he may have pulled that off.
That was
Did
fantastic.
He at least say the correct name of the city? He didn't say the city next door?
No, Ron Killings is never going to live that down, man.
Speaking of cities next door, during the NXT webcast tonight, R-Truth was there because he was he's Johnny Curtis's pro, right?
Right.
R-Truth made it a very, very solid point to get the name of the city right. I mean, every time it was Cleveland. I mean, he made sure that every time he had to say the name Cleveland, it wasn't Brook Park or Parma or Independence or East Lake.
It was Cincinnati.
That was probably written on his clipboard. You are in Cleveland.
Ring tape. Probably on his wrist tape as soon as he looked up at the microphone.
By the way, sorry to sort of sidetrack the thing for a sec, but Spug, you obviously saw NXT being at the tapings tonight. It was actually the finale tonight, so who won?
Can I spoil it? I mean, Alan already asked, so...
Spoil.
Well, it's already been aired, so technically it's no longer a spoiler.
It's airing right
Johnny
now.
Curtis.
Yes, Johnny Curtis, who's an FCW mainstay for the last couple years. He'd been at a tag team with a few folks, so good for him. I'm very happy to Johnny Curtis hopefully
big
moving up to the roster.
See the
I want to go back to Del Rio real quick in something that Phil had said, and watching from Elimination Chamber and then being at SmackDown tonight, I'm going to make the prediction now that one, Christian will somehow be involved in deciding the outcome of the main of the SmackDown main event of WrestleMania. And two, the loser of that match is going to end up feuding with Christian. And I really think that this is a test for Alberto Del Rio, that WWE is probably not going to put the title on him, and so that Christian is going to end up costing him the title somehow. And that at the end of that, it's going to be a Christian and Del Rio feud.
Well, why not? He needs to get revenge for the arm. Seems like you get hurt by him with that arm maneuver, and next thing you know, I'm back and I'm better than ever, and possibly doing pose-offs and all that fun stuff from back in the day. And
speaking of Edging Christian, for the first time in 10 years, after the show went off the air, because they ended the show, the taped show, they ended SmackDown with a contract signing. And Edge gets on the microphone and he goes, "No, no, 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 Cleveland. There is no way in hell this is going down like this. No, you deserve better." He goes, "This is the city that has the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame." He goes, "This is the city. No, no, LeBron James didn't leave you. You kicked him the hell out." That got a huge pop from the crowd. Yeah, that got a huge
pop.
That got a huge pop from the crowd. He goes, "You were promised a 5-on-3 handicap tag match, and damn it, you're going to get it." And so next thing you know, Christian's already out there. And so Edge and Christian are already out there. And then the core comes out, and then Del Rio came back out. So it was the core and Del Rio, and then Big Show came back out. And kudos to Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel for pulling double duty, because they were in a match earlier defending their tag titles against Santino and Kozlov. But so this is a dark match off the air, and so it was, you know, Big Show and Edge and Christian versus the core and Alberto Del Rio, and I'm pretty sure you can guess who won. And at the end of it, when it was all said and done, Big Show leaves, Core leaves, Del Rio leaves, and Edge and Christian are standing in the ring again, and Edge cuts a little bit of a promo again, and they do a 5-second pose.
Nice.
We got pictures of it, too. There's a bunch of stuff that I'll be throwing up on Facebook later. There's a bunch of pictures and stuff we got from the show. I had a great time. And my kid, man, the smile on her face. And here, you'll all appreciate this. You can laugh. Do you remember what I said after the one pay-per-view when they were still the Nexus, that I made some comment about wanting to punch Heath Slater in the face? And
you got a
the
shot
one,
on, didn't you?
Well, no. The next night on Raw, we're watching TV, and my daughter goes up to the TV and points at the TV. She goes, "Hey, Mommy, that's the guy Daddy wants to punch in the face, the stupid ginger kid." We're sitting there tonight, and there had to be, like 10,000-12,000 people in the arena. And when we were sitting, there was a big group around us. And she pulls on my shirt. She goes, "Daddy, Daddy, there's the kid you want to punch in the face."
Yeah,
and I
just got a good memory.
God, that's good.
I just went, oh. And my wife looked at me, and she started laughing and cracking up. She goes, I told you she was going to do it. And I'm sitting there, like, turning red. I mean, there is not much that embarrasses the Spud guy. There really isn't. Dude, I think I turned 7 sheets of red. She said, the 2 women behind me are looking at me funny, like, what? And the guy beside me is looking at me real funny. Like, why would he say that to his, you know what I mean? Like, why would I say that?
Yeah, they're probably Heath Slater's comps.
I don't know, but, I mean, I was just like, oh. And the worst part was she's a stupid ginger kid.
Oh,
and so you know who we were talking about. I mean, you...
Yeah.
Which she points and said, there's a stupid ginger kid you want to punch in the face. Without any prompting, without anybody, I mean, she's given me some gems over the years, like her road rage moment from the back seat, yelling at the guy who was brake checking me, telling him to, and I quote, move over, douchebag. I mean, seriously,
Daddy
she's
moments
given,
with the Spud guy.
Exactly.
She, I mean,
welcome to Storytime with Spud.
But she's given me some gems over the years. But by far tonight was the greatest. I mean, it was a ton of fun. And I tell you what, I just pulled into my driveway from SmackDown, so I will get off the phone and join you guys on Skype here in a few minutes.
Awesome. We'll talk to the Spud guy in a minute or two while we wait for the Spud guy to return. Speaking of ginger-haired folks, Mace's favorite guy got what many people think he deserved after Triple H's promo, which was one of many. It was promo Monday Night Raw this week. The first one out of the gate was Triple H opening the evening, talking about Undertaker. At one point, turning into Duncan MacLeod, saying that there can be only one. I was waiting for him to whip out a sword at some point. King Sheamus made his way out, turned into the mother of all butt kickings. Then led to Sheamus getting shooting star pressed by the returning Evan Bourne. Do you buy the reasoning behind this? We'll go to Mace and then we'll go to Phil. Do you buy the reasoning behind WrestleMania matchup with The Undertaker that we're the last of... It almost made him seem like Mace, like, we're the last of a dying breed and this and that. I'm like, seriously, what's going on here?
Yeah, it very much seemed like that. It seemed like, you know, there's no one else that should be going up against The Undertaker but me because I'm the only man who deserves the right. It's like, really? You mean we can't have, you know, one of the other couple of dozen people on the roster, you know, that you're trying to bring up in the company get, you know, more popularity by going against The Undertaker at WrestleMania, even if they do get their asses whooped?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it just doesn't seem right to me.
Hmm. That's the situation, Phil. I mean, he's been off TV for, what, almost 11 months? He disappeared right around... It was almost like the next night when Shawn Michaels... He came out and did a week or two after Shawn Michaels retired. And are you okay with Taker versus Triple H? I mean, well, Spug's not listening, so we can rip on his man crush for a couple minutes here. But are you fine with this match at Mania, or would you rather have seen Taker take on someone else?
I'm fine with the match. The problem with Undertaker's streak over the last couple of years is that they've given him such huge, high-profile matches at WrestleMania that there's only, you know, in actuality, a couple of different guys you can go with. And they've already used Edge. They've used Shawn Michaels twice. They've used Batista, and I don't think he was in the mix for it anyway. The only other guy other than Triple H that I could really see getting a really good WrestleMania program and match out of Undertaker is Chris Jericho, and he's not in the cards right now. So
he's busy dancing.
Yeah, he's busy dancing. But, you know, he's somebody, hey, you know, if Undertaker's still around next year in wrestling, that might not be a bad idea, since they've been kept apart quite a bit over the last few years. Yeah, so, you know, that said, you know, they are kind of the last of a dying breed. There are very few guys in the business, much less in WWE, who are active, who have been around as long as those two have. I wonder, with each of their injury histories, how good of a match it can be, because Undertaker's shoulder is pretty messed up, and Triple H is coming off surgery himself. What I didn't like about that promo was sort of, you know, setting up the match by burying the entire rest of the roster and saying that, like, basically, there's no other challenges for us. You know, because it's like, well, there are a lot of guys back there who you haven't wrestled at all. So, and isn't wrestling supposed to be about championships, winning and losing, or is that just passe now?
Plus, you got to realize with the whole Triple H thing, what's everybody want to see for Triple H at Mania? They want to see him go up against Sheamus. But then straight after his little talk, what does he do? Practically buries the crap out of Sheamus.
Yeah, so not only is there a wanted poster for Desmond Wolfe, which we'll be posting soon, thanks to the artwork of Mason Surak, and we'll try to post later on, a wanted poster for the push that was the two-time WWE champion, Sheamus, and so Mace gets total credit for that one. We're not done with the promos, because yes, we actually had a match. Evan Bourne came back, hooray. Michael Cole comes out and issued his WrestleMania challenge, as we outlined with Jerry the King Lawler. Thanks again to him for taking time out of his evening for us. And he says, all right, fine, I'll wrestle you on two conditions. One, my trainer can be at ringside, and two, you accept the special referee. And we're going to find out the special referee this week on Raw. But the trainer happens to be the all-American Jack Swagger. A weird choice, Mace, to be involved in this angle? Would you have
picked
someone
else? Very weird choice, but, well, there's not really anyone else that you can pull from the heel roster that has that type of wrestling credentials. You know, if, say, the roles were reversed and Michael Cole was the face in this and Lawler was the heel, you know, then I turn around and say, you know, bring in Daniel Bryan as the trainer because, well, everybody knows he's a world-class wrestler. But the only thing I'm really hoping for, I want to see Michael Cole attempt the monkey dance and the push-ups.
Michael Cole went a little overboard tonight, by the way.
Oh, that's right. He's involved in SmackDown announcing as if we're not tortured enough on Monday Night Raw. But as many people have said, if he's pissing us off, he's doing his job right. So kudos to Michael Cole for doing his job right.
There's a difference, though.
Stop.
There's a difference between pissing us off and getting under our skin. You know what I mean? A good heel gets under your skin. You know, a Miz honestly is a good heel. He gets under your skin and just irritates the shit out of you, so you can't wait to see him get what's coming to him. Michael Cole pisses you off to the point where you'd be happy if you could take a 2x4 to his mouth so he couldn't open it for a day or two.
Which we may be seeing at WrestleMania, Phil.
He did. He went overboard tonight, though. It was during a commercial break that he was cutting a promo with Swagger in the ring, and he said a few things about Cleveland, called the place a dump. You know, I mean, and he was trying to get the proper amount of heel heat, but he said something to the effect that not even the dead would want this town.
Okay.
And it just, like, it just, I got where he was going with it, you know? But it just, it rubbed me the wrong way, and like, dude, you're trying way too hard.
Yeah, he looked awfully cocky and confident in that ring even before Swagger came out, Phil. Do you think we were going to possibly ask it of Jerry Lawler, but didn't have enough time for it. Do you think Lawler, in a shoot sense here, might be coaching Cole on this stuff? On, you know, this is what you need to do. Or you think this is Cole just, I've been here long enough, I know what I'm doing?
I think Cole knows what he's doing, and I think it wouldn't hurt to bounce things off of a guy like Jerry Lawler, who's literally seen everything that there is to see in the business in 40 years in the business. I think the biggest problem with Michael Cole is he's doing a really, really good job as an antagonist. The problem is that his job as an antagonist is in direct, like, interference with his job as the lead play-by-play announcer, because he's got to be serious and getting over angles that aren't his own, and in some cases endorsing baby faces that he shouldn't be endorsing, and then in other segments he's just the worst person you're ever going to listen to in your life.
And I think it hurts the product a little bit. And that's why I've been pleased that they've been using Josh Matthews as much as they've been using him lately, because at least he's that even keel. He's that guy who has a voice. I mean, granted, he hasn't been around very long in terms of this, in terms of the role he's in now, but at least he's the voice you can trust. He's not somebody who's been made, you know, an ass in angles, you know? And Cole is going to, it's going to be interesting to see Cole when this is all over, you know, and he just goes back to being a play-by-play announcer, which is, I'm assuming, what will happen at some point. You know, if it affects his ability to do his job as a play-by-play announcer, because he's been very, very good as the heel. But at what point do people just say, I don't want to listen to you anymore? And you know, has he lost all credibility? JR had his little heel turns here and there, but it never lasted very long because the crowd just liked JR too much. The crowd doesn't like Cole that much. And I'm wondering how much this will hurt him and his career moving forward.
So this means we're probably going to see possibly some Lawler's competing. We'll see Ross and maybe Matthews. And who, if you, we'll do this real quick. We'll go to Phil and then a Spug and then a Maze. Who's your lead commentary team for this event? Are you putting Stryker with Ross, or bringing Vince McMahon out of retirement, or is it Matthews? Is it Byron Saxton, who did ECW and FCW TV, Phil? If you're production, if you're Kevin Dunn, executive producer at WWE, who's your commentating duo?
Well, if I'm Kevin Dunn, it's probably going to be somebody different than what I'm going to come up with, because, you know, in the past, he doesn't always pick the guys who necessarily belong on the screen. He picks them based on other criteria. Stryker, they've just buried into oblivion. I don't know if it had to do with his comment about marking out at WrestleMania, because I know Vince McMahon hates that word, but he hasn't been on television on SmackDown or anything since then. He's been on NXT and Superstars, so I don't think he'll be getting a Mania call anytime soon. Same with Todd Gresham. He's been nowhere. So that leaves you with Josh Matthews. That leaves you with Booker T. And I guess Jim Ross. I mean, it almost seems like a no-brainer that if Cole and Lawler are in a match, they shouldn't be sitting next to each other just calling WrestleMania for the rest of the show. That doesn't make any sense. And I don't think their match is going on last, so I don't think that they're going to be calling a couple of main events. So maybe they'll do a couple of matches early, and then when it comes time to get ready for their match, they'll leave, and maybe they'll tag out, and maybe Jim Ross will make a comeback. Who knows? But I can't see how... I mean, you can't, after a match like that, just go back and sit next to the guy that you've been fighting, you know, pretty much for months.
Sir Rockin chimes in, says he thinks it'll be Jim Ross, Booker T, and Josh Matthews. Thoughts on this one, Spug? If you're booking, are you fine with... Could you see just that combo, like Sir Rockin said, that trio of JR, Booker, and Matthews?
I don't, on SmackDown?
No, for Mania itself. I mean, you're not going to bring Todd Grisham back for Mania. No offense to Todd Grisham, but you're not going to bring him out and go, all right, Todd, this is your pay-per-view. Go get him, Tiger.
Well, you've got a perfectly, you don't even need to bring Jim Ross back if you don't want to, because you've got a perfectly excellent play-by-play guy working on your website.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's been gone for so long, so the Oh My God Man could come back for WrestleMania 27.
If he's not too busy on Twitter bagging the company.
Right. But, I mean, he does work for WWE, does he not? I mean, he doesn't work for their website. So, you know, I could see it. I don't know if you'd bring Ross out. It just, to me, seems like a stretch to bring him out of retirement to do that one. But he was at WrestleMania last year, wasn't he?
He was.
I'll defer to Phil and say, yeah, he was. And
he was there, he was in the skybox, and he didn't do anything.
But I thought he was there. I mean, he was there. So, you know,
he was at the Super Bowl, too, but he didn't jump in the booth with Aikman. And
could Lawler work? Could Lawler work, or not Lawler, but Ross work Mania? Absolutely. I would like to see, if you're going to do anything, you might bring Ross back, or you've got a perfectly good play-by-play guy in Joey Styles there, you've also got Stryker, who, oddly enough, Matthews and Stryker and Booker T, to a point, have a really weird but good chemistry. I mean, it's odd to hear them, but they work well together. So, I mean, that could work for Mania, but if you're going for a big-name draw, then I would say either Lawler or Ross or Styles.
Yeah. As we mentioned, this was a very promo-laden Monday Night Raw involving Randy Orton having a double promo, setting up their match at Mania, that if Randall can defeat each member of Nexus version 2, like he did with Michael McGillicuddy, they cannot be at ringside for WrestleMania. So as we saw last night, one down, now all that's left is you've got Otunga left and Mason Ryan left, unless you're going to bring back Titus O'Neil or anyone else in this thing. Another promo, The Miz and Alex Riley. Why? I don't know. Which brought out Cena with some props. Definitely interesting to see a doctor's note on Monday Night Raw. Which, unfortunately, maybe it was me, but that just felt, what's the word I'm looking for, long. I mean, come on. I got up, I went, I got ice cream, I came back. They were still talking. I ate my ice cream. I put it in the sink. I came back. Guess what? They were still talking. Isn't there a point at a gorilla position, Mace, where they're going, yeah, no, well, we'll have to cut that diva match, or poor Daniel Bryan, he's not going to wrestle tonight because John Cena's got to talk, man. Can't stop John Cena from talking.
Well, they really need to start with reeling these guys in, but you know, it's a bit hard to do it with a promo. You can't have a referee sort of duck in the ring during a promo and go, hey, guys, take it home, would ya?
You know, you just bring Jack Lance out. I have a pencil in his mouth going, you see this? I'm done. You see what I'm going to do to the pencil next to my teeth?
Hey, they're just trying to keep up with TNA. I mean, really, if TNA's got 120 minutes of talking in a two-hour show, WWE's got to have 125.
And if we weren't done talking, we did get to see it almost seemed like a 30-second battle royal where the Bella Twins did the twin magic, and one of them will face Eve Torres either at WrestleMania or at a date to be determined. But if you're a Facebook friend of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you saw a photo of his foot smashing a hat and a chain gang necklace of one John Cena, and proceeded to cut a promo from his home in Los Angeles, which was really nicely done. Who knew that The Rock could do Undertaker tricks from a remote location in California? This isn't the first long promo he's cut, but Phil, it didn't seem like as long as the John Cena one is. And I think a lot of fans can take that away, that, you know, and we'll let Mace definitely give his diatribe on that. And he's got another blog on the subject, but Phil, first, your thoughts on the return of Dwayne Johnson, and do him and Cena touch at all at Mania if you're in charge of this, or how long do you milk this out? Do you milk this that they eventually will have a one-on-one match somewhere?
I hope so. I mean, because it seems like everything that they're doing is leading everyone to think that, because these promos are nobody's really thinking about Cena versus Miz, especially when Cena's coming out with a doctor's note, which, by the way, I would have preferred to be an Epstein's mother's note for anybody who ever watched Welcome Back, Kotter. But I just think that, the physical confrontation between Cena and The Rock, they could do a little bit of WrestleMania. I wouldn't do anything before WrestleMania. I wouldn't have them. I would even hesitate to even have them in the same ring together before WrestleMania, because the whole appeal to buying WrestleMania is seeing what's going to happen with those two. And if you see it before then you blow it. I think that the ideal thing, if they can get him to agree to wrestle, which I don't know if they have or not already, is SummerSlam at the Staples Center in LA. It makes perfect sense to have two quote-unquote movie stars wrestling in front of a bunch of other movie stars in L.A. I mean, SummerSlam is not WrestleMania. SummerSlam needs that extra boost of a big match that's going to sell it. And if they can manage to get Cena against The Rock, it's going to get a lot of people talking. I mean, just even in the last 2 weeks, the ratings for Raw you know, and Vince Russo always likes to write about ratings and all of his TNA stuff. Well, the ratings for Raw have actually been good. Like, they did a 3.9 and a 3.8 back-to-back weeks, which they haven't done in God knows how long. And I'm sure The Rock and Triple H and The Undertaker had a lot to do with it. But I think the most important thing for them right now is, yeah, they're building up Rock and Cena, and they're doing all this great stuff, and they're getting eyeballs to watch the product. In the meantime, they're having guys that are newer, like Alberto Del Rio, wrestle Edge. They're having Cody Rhodes wrestling Rey Mysterio. They're having Miz wrestle John Cena. They are mixing in some of the new with the old, and that's probably a good thing. I really think Rock and Cena's got to be SummerSlam, and I've been telling everybody that.
With Justin Bieber as referee, got to have the Beeb in there. Happy birthday, Justin Bieber. He turned 17 today, as my daughter's third grade class reminded me when I dropped her off at the bus. They were all standing there singing. I was like, oh, God.
Wait. So other than Tim Stein, we have another reason to hate Canada and Justin Bieber? I'm getting this correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, great promo once again by Dwayne Johnson. Nice display of the championships. Even better way to hide the fact that behind those championships, I don't know if anybody caught it, but there was a picture of a certain Olympic medalist behind there. I don't know if anybody saw it, but it's like, I wonder if WWE would have walked into Dwayne's house and said, yeah, that person, Kurt Angle, we're going to have to get rid of that. It's on the wall. Oh, we'll paint it. Oh, it's on the wall. All right, let's just move this over here. Boom, the belts go there. Awesome.
You know, I don't think that they have a whole lot of animosity towards Kurt Angle. I really don't, because they've mentioned him a couple of times on WWE programming.
Yeah, and your man crush made reference to Ric Flair during his promo on Monday Night Raw, so that was a little weird.
Haven't got to watch it yet.
Okay, John Travolta talking through the teeth like we're in Broken Arrow.
I had to work. I had to close last night, so I didn't get home until Raw was over. I haven't got to watch. I don't watch SmackDown. Like, I never watched SmackDown. I've seen SmackDown for the week before I saw Raw. Do you know how disappointed this makes me?
Yeah, well, plug your ears for a second then, because we're going to talk about one other thing, and that is social networking, the WWE getting a little bit interesting last night. Earlier, that long, 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 long promo with Cena and Miz and Alex Riley set up a steel cage match. Why a steel cage match, you'll see in a few minutes, between John Cena and the prodigy.
That's BJ Penn. Well.
Yeah. Well, the prodigy used to be Mike Cruz in ASW, and now he's the real deal. So we had Alex Riley say, the Miz accept, saying, okay, if you, my boy wins, you have to praise me as the greatest champion ever. Like, that's really all you could have wished for with Cena? How about dropping the match at Mania, dumbass? And if you happen to win, Marky Mark, my boy Alex Riley is gone. Okay, cool. We had Miz take not one but two pictures with his BlackBerry and ended up posting them on his Twitter account. We had Alex Riley pulling out every weapon known to humankind, including a chair to keep him inside. But in the end, oh my God, shock of shockers, John Cena wins. But really didn't win, Mays, because as soon as he got out of that cage, he got his butt hit with a skull-crushing finale. Where do you think this goes from here to get to Mania? Is it time for Alex Riley to take a back seat and disappear from TV for a while and come back, repackage or something, or does he still work his way into Mania somehow? And your thoughts actually on the match?
Well, Alex Riley, and if rumors are correct, he's actually being pulled off Raw completely, being repackaged and then probably put on SmackDown. But as for the match itself, I noticed a small little mess up. I don't know whether it was the fact that I missed something or the WWE had covered up a flaw. When I last checked, the rules of a cage match were pinfall, submission, or escape from the cage?
Depends on your day of the week in WWE, man.
They changed it before the match, though. The GM announced that it was
they did escape.
Yeah.
Okay. I must have missed that bit because I was sort of, I'll be honest, I was in and out during Raw. I was running around doing a million and one other things.
Don't worry, lots of us were confused because I'm trying to figure out, okay, if it's a escape the cage thing, what's the ref doing in there in the first place, man?
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's got to get accused.
Well, you can do that from the outside. That's why that's why they have cages there. You know, you can put them up against the cage and it's like, okay, time to go. You know, little bits and pieces like that. You know, there are ways to get around this, but you know, creative. To be honest, I'll give them this. John Cena flying out the cage door and then getting caught straight into a skull crushing finale. Nice timing.
To Phil, the overall thoughts on Riley as a performer, going from the varsity villain to this protege role, if we go with what Mace is correct in saying that Riley's done and he's going to be repackaged after Mania, do you put him back into that varsity villain character that he was doing in FCW, or do you let him run around, ride the coattails of Miz for a while? What's next for this gentleman?
I hope it's not the varsity villain, because I really, really, really hated that. I thought it was very stupid and a little bit out of the 80s. He grew on me really, really fast, and I didn't like him at all on NXT. So kudos to him for, you know, I don't know if that was just kind of a bad role for him with the varsity jack and everything like that, telling him people he's going to show him in a locker or whatever. The word is, as Mace said, that, you know, he is being sent back to FCW and is being repackaged, and I guess he'll re-debut at some point this year. But him and The Miz, I guess, are done for now. That was the stipulation of the match. He's got a good future. I mean, as long as he can keep his nose out of trouble, which he's had trouble with in the past, you know, he's got the look that they look for, he's got the skill set that they look for, and he's been around a while. So he's, you know, he's kind of been seasoned. It's interesting that they're looking to repackage guys now, because I guess they're going to be doing that with him and probably with Husky Harris, probably with McGillicuddy too. Hopefully it's not some other big faction, because I think we've run our course of factions at this point, and it seems like we're finally getting away from that a little bit with the Nexus, I guess, being sort of disbanded. But, Riley's going to be fine, I think. I mean, as long as he can find something, you know, a good program to kick off his whatever his push is with. Because if he doesn't, and he just ends up kind of floating around on SmackDown, losing to, you know, whoever, R-Truth or Christian or whoever every week, then he's not going to get over. But he can talk, and that's going to help. That's going to go a long way. A guy like Michael McGillicuddy is going to struggle on his own because he really hasn't shown himself to have any type of in-ring personality or promo skills. He's got good work, but he doesn't have anything else.
I mean, this is a guy, Spug, who held his own with Pee Wee Herman, of all people, so I think he's okay on the mic. What do you do with Riley if everyone is right here and he doesn't appear at Mania and he gets repackaged in Mania? If you're creative, what are you doing with Alex Riley?
Teaming him up with Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger and calling them the All-American Americans.
That's our worst
interest. Yeah.
I mean, you had the varsity gimmick. You have, Ziggler was in the Spirit Squad, so you could, I don't think you could necessarily go back to the Spirit Squad days.
Oh, dear God, don't.
But maybe a different version or so. And then, of course, Jack Swagger, you know, who calls himself the All-American American. I think you could team those three guys up, and I agree on the faction thing to a point, Phil, but the problem why these factions haven't been working is there hasn't been an equally as strong faction to war with. Like, they've kept the Nexus and the Core apart. You know, the Core's on SmackDown and Nexus is on Raw, and they're both heel factions, and so you haven't had that strong face faction to work against them. And
but they did touch at Royal Rumble.
They touched to a point at Royal Rumble, but there really wasn't anything, you know, there wasn't anything after that. You can't, we saw it during the 90s. The reason why DX got over as well as they did is not only were they funny, but Nation of Domination helped a lot.
Yep.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you had the Horsemen
and NWO and a bunch of other
stuff. I'm not even talking about WCW. I'm just talking in WWE. The way the factions worked in WWE. I mean, yeah, you had Los Barriquas. You had the, what was it? The
DOA.
DOA, Disciples of Apocalypse. And there were a few others.
They had the Hart Foundation for a while there.
The Truth Commission.
Yeah.
Right to Censor.
You had Right to Censor. You had the corporate.
Oddities.
You had the Oddities. You had the corporate ministry, the ministry. You had a bunch that would crop up here and there, but they didn't really have the staying power that Nation of Domination and DX did. I mean, the only other feud that really worked out as well was the ministry / corporate ministry versus the union, you know? I mean, you had these factions that would crop up, and they had an equally strong counterfaction.
Yeah, you had the Un-Americans for a while there.
And now you don't have that. You just have two factions and nothing to oppose them. And I think that's why Evolution petered out like they did, because you didn't have anybody to oppose it.
You didn't have Mark Jindrak, that's why. Sorry, I still love that story that Jindrak told, that he was supposed to be there and he wasn't. We got robbed of Jindrak.
Well, with the Nexus and the Core, if you put... And I honestly think that Swagger, Ziggler, and Riley could make very credible faces. They could. They really could. You could put them in a role where they're going up against, say, the Core on SmackDown. You know, you're putting them up against the Core, or if you really want to keep with this faction thing, you make a whole new one. Because, quite frankly, watching SmackDown tonight and watching this guy for as long as I've watched him, Wade Barrett is ready to be on his own. Wade Barrett is absolutely ready to be in the mid-card and be in a mid-card title hunt on his own.
Yeah, and I can say that from watching him here when he was in FCW. He used to do the FCW television with Byron Saxton. They were the color commentary duo. And for the longest while, I kept going, wow, I know that voice. Wow, I know that voice. And then finally, they went to the shot. And holy crap, that's the kid on NXT right now. He's really good. So I couldn't agree more. I would love to see something like that go on. As of this moment, the Mania card is still The Miz versus John Cena for the world title. Edge versus Alberto Del Rio for the world title. Sorry, WWE title is on Raw. I wish they'd change that. Undertaker versus Triple H. We've got our recent guest, Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole with Jack Swagger. Looks like we're going to get CM Punk versus Randy Orton. Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes, and if you go with what Spud was saying, we'll spoil this a little bit, that he felt that possibly you will see a Wade Barrett or Big Show versus Kane, or maybe Big Show versus Wade Barrett versus Kane, since Big Show's got some DVDs to sell.
Kane versus Wade Barrett is probably where they're going with the altercation that they had tonight, or the possibility of a tag with Kane and Big Show versus Barrett and somebody else from the Core.
Ezekiel, because he's been feuding with Big Show lately, too.
Yeah, probably Ezekiel. And by the way, the best part of that dark match main event tonight was at one point Big Show was in the ring and Ezekiel got tagged in, and they did the makeout pose in the center of the ring. And Ezekiel is a good foot and a half shorter than Big Show. And Big Show's looking down at him, and it was almost like forehead to chin. I mean, Big Show's looking down at him, and Ezekiel's looking up at him, and Ezekiel's just got this look on his face like, oh, Jesus, this is gonna hurt. And the Big Show chops, you know, we've all heard the Big Show chops on television. They're louder in the arena.
Oh, sure.
With no mic, we're not talking a microphone under the ring, you know, linked into the sound system. You could hear, I mean, it was a It's such a sickening thud, dude. It is so gross to hear it.
Probably worse to feel them.
I would imagine. I'm out. You know, I wrestled, and dude, I hated taking chops. But
most wrestlers do.
but chops from somebody who's 7'4" and 400-some-odd pounds. I'm out. I'm done. Sorry.
Yeah. You're surrendering. You're putting your boots in the ring, Kurt Angle style, so to speak.
I am throwing up the white flag and, you know, waving it a little bit.
But if you put him in the ring, Kurt Angle style, you'll be back on the next show with nothing said about it.
That's just, oh my God, I feel so bad for him. I do. I feel bad for him.
For Angle?
Yes, I do. I really do, because I think this whole thing with Jarrett is just retarded.
Well, if he really hates it, his contract is up, what, in the fall?
You know he's coming back. You know he's coming back to WWE.
I would not be surprised. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to be rethinking their futures a lot as their contracts come up with TNA.
I mean, now, go ahead. I'm sorry, Alan.
You're good. Before we go, is there a particular match that we haven't seen that if before Phil goes, because we're pressed for time, is there a match that you want to see at Mania? That if you could make a match that hasn't been announced yet, what would it be and why?
Well, there's left that hasn't gotten a match yet. I mean, I'm guessing they're going to do some sort of Money in the Bank deal. Personally, you know, kind of being a wrestling fan for as long as I have, which is now almost 26 years, I wouldn't mind seeing the Intercontinental title. I wouldn't mind seeing the United States title, the tag team titles. Get some of these championships on WrestleMania. They're never, ever on there anymore. And if they are, it's really an afterthought, or it's like an 8-second match like Kane and Chavo was a couple of years ago where the ECW title was at stake. Wouldn't mind seeing the rest of the undercard fill up with actual title feuds that actually mean something. I mean, if you use something with Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, that would probably be fine. I wouldn't mind that match. I wouldn't mind Daniel Bryan against anybody at WrestleMania, as long as it's not like the Great Khali. But I would rather see that than Money in the Bank. Leave Money in the Bank in July as its own pay-per-view, especially as it is on WrestleMania. If you want to separate it out, don't do 3 a year. Just waters it down. I just want to see some titles.
They tease Daniel Bryan again tonight.
Hmm. Oh, good.
Right. During NXT and a couple of dark shots, you know, they teased Daniel Bryan at Mania again, which I think is a intense possibility of happening.
Yeah, I'm all for it, as Phil said, as long as we actually get wrestling at our wrestling pay-per-view. I don't think anybody would mind. Before we let you go, anybody in the works for the Under the Ring blog, interview-wise, that you'd like to share?
Nobody official right now, but there's a lot of stuff going on, so I'm expecting a couple of things coming up shortly. Collector's Realm, which a lot of people in this area will know, always has autograph signing. He's going to have Sabu and Maria coming up, so I usually do get to interview those guys whenever they come into Collector's Realm, so I'm expecting to get to meet those guys and hopefully guy and girl, and hopefully get to talk to them. TNA is coming to town in Poughkeepsie on March 11th. I don't really know what I'm getting in terms of that yet, but I'm pretty sure Jeff Jarrett's going to be coming to town and doing some media, so I might get to sit down with him again like I did last year. And then NEW in April is coming to Newburgh, so there's probably going to be some good stuff coming up around that time. And then the big news from yesterday, which I'm not sure if you saw, but Kevin's not writing TNA for me anymore.
I was about to ask if you found a replacement for Jamal yet.
Yeah, well, what's going on there, man?
Yeah, he, you know, like a lot of other people, he's watching the show every week and he's tired of writing about it because he feels like he's writing the same review every week. So I'm going to step in for now, which would be entertaining because I haven't written about them in a while. But I've been still obviously keeping up on the product and everything, so I'm following it, all of their stuff as much as someone actually could follow TNA. But I'm going to be curious to start writing about that again because it's been since they launched last January, since I probably wrote the last TNA review that I wrote. So
yeah, we'll send the meds that Mace and I haven't taken for the longest while.
Without without ruining and out, without spoiling, because I wasn't here for the first part of the show, so I don't know what you talked about.
Don't talk about 3-3. We can't do it. I talked. Lawyers said no.
But without spoiling it.
Okay.
Just let me finish, Alan, before you freak the hell out.
Too late, without, man.
Without spoiling it, what do you think of TNA's decision to do what they did and the way they went about doing it?
This is going to me?
Yes.
To you, yeah. You weren't on when Mace and I kind of talked about it, but without mentioning the championship.
Are you talking about the main event from the Fayetteville show?
I'm talking about everything that happened, yes.
Oh, God.
Well, what are your feelings on this whole thing of them copying the 22111 thing? Let's put it to their
It's
first.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It just took all the internet buzz that was going on about, you know, the person that WWE considered bringing in, which never was a solid situation whatsoever, as much as everybody seemed to want to think it was. And, you know, I think they're overestimating what that person, I don't know if we've mentioned his name or not, but what he brings to TNA. I think he had a lot more to offer WWE in the role of, okay, maybe challenging The Undertaker, maybe going to the Hall of Fame. In TNA, he's just a guy, and he's been just a guy for a while. You know, they obviously changed some things around at the tapings of the show that'll air on Thursday, but it's not going to have any effect on their ratings. I don't know if they think that it will, but I really don't think it is. I was surprised to see that he was back, but at the same time, I wasn't. You know, he's never come in before and done anything in WWE, so it didn't surprise me that he stayed. But it's just another chapter in TNA where they're going to completely reset everything, and then everything's just going to stay exactly the same way it's been for 7 or 8 years. And, you know, I'll say this about TNA. Kevin Scott was the one person that I knew who, like, literally just stuck with that product, never wavered at all. And it was just like, it was shocking to me to be like, wow, he's still watching the show every week. And then Monday night I checked my email, and it's like, oh, okay, now they've scared off Kevin as a fan, too. It's like, you know, because obviously, you know, I do my blog, and I enjoy doing it, but I'm an employee of the Poughkeepsie Journal, so I do get paid by the Poughkeepsie Journal. Kevin is a friend of mine. He's not a Poughkeepsie Journal employee. As much as I'd love to, I don't have the money to pay him to do what he does. He does what he does on a volunteer basis. So the fact that they took one of their, probably their biggest fans, a guy who's really, really been following their product for that many years, and scared him off, I think that just says as much as I could ever say about that product and how much they respect their fan base, because their fan base wants to see them do well. Even people that aren't in their fan base want to see them do well, and they just can't seem to get it right.
He is Phil Strum of the Poughkeepsie Journal. We'll keep him on here. I think he may or may not. I think he may come on just for, like, old time's sake situations and say, I remember back when TNA did this, and it was good. Thank you to Phil Strum for stopping by. We will talk to you again, possibly after WrestleMania, sir.
Okay, thanks a lot for having me on.
Yeah. We're going to let the network pimp itself, and then we'll pimp Online World of Wrestling Radio, because the rest of this month is solid booked with people. So tomorrow night, OTL, Otago Talk Live. Any possibility of making fun of the Oscars this week? I mean, we had James Franco and Anna Hathaway in their debut. Possibilities of you guys talking that, or is it all still midgets and planning Tim Stein's wedding?
Tim Stein's wedding comes courtesy of CB Radio.
Ah.
However, OTL this week, not really sure what we're going to get at this week. You're just pretty much going to have to tune in to find out. News has been a bit lacking. The only thing I can probably bring up personally is, for like the 86th time that you've probably heard on this network, Mortal Kombat has been banned in Australia, and I'm pissed off about it. So more than likely I'll get a chance to rant and rave. There's probably things on World of Warcraft that Spug and I will start talking about, which will put Omega to sleep. So, pretty much, Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WorldTalkRadio.com. Come and listen to the three guys be geeky.
Now, there is no Ultimate Fight this weekend, but thanks to everyone that listened in to the Tap Out to Knockouts event with these two gentlemen, myself, Sir Rockin, and I don't think I'm allowed back at a UFC event because this is what two times in a row I've been on, and you've had a main event draw. So I don't know if my UFC card will be punched again.
It's okay, Alan. It's okay.
Point in time, Alan, we'll see how we go. If you come on a third time, there's a draw. We're definitely not inviting you back.
Yeah. apparently, Rob Parks blames Australia for the draw. Just saying.
The entire nation.
Okay, I've got words for Rob Parks, but I shall save them for Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on WorldTalkRadio.com for CB Radio.
See, you did my plug for me. There you go.
Excellent. Definitely fun. Don't forget, Tap Outs and Knockouts can be found podcast, Bashing the Books, which is Mace's version of a Geek Fest comic book review, can also be podcast. Our good friend Johnny Casimir's show Life is Callous will now be available via podcast only. All those situations can be found on WildTalkRadio.com, which is our home site.
Alan, before we shield WTR, I have a thank yous to give out before we get to New Year plugs.
Because
we had a lot of people tune in tonight. I feel like they deserve a little credit for showing up and listening.
Oh, cool.
We
go ahead.
Thank them. Jersey Girl, Nick, Lisa, Carrie, Fred, Adam, Rampage, Josh, and everyone else who did not give themselves a nickname. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the Jerry Lawler interview. Hope you enjoyed the whole entire program. Hope you enjoyed everything we do on Wild Talk Radio. Come back often. That's my shill, WildTalkRadio.com.
Yes, and this Sunday, until April 3rd, there is no pay-per-view. So every Sunday at 10 o'clock Eastern.
There's a TNA pay-per-view in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's right. Victory Road. Thank you. Tells you how much we're paying attention and how much I care. Hi, Jeremy Borash, if you're listening. Hi, Stephen Godfrey, if you're listening.
Call in, please. Want to use call in. Who was the guest? TNA.
Absolutely. Explain to me why my laptop was banned 3 years ago. Honest, it wasn't drinking out, partying with James Storm, man. My laptop's got an alibi. Thanks to Jerry Lawler for being here. We knew he was very pressed for time. He was on his way to dinner, but he took some time for us. We have interviews the next 3 weeks to get us to the end of the month. Next week, someone we hope, if the tea leaves are right, is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Road Warrior Animal, Joel Arenitis, will be with us to discuss his new biography that I'm currently reading, and it's amazing stuff. I believe it went on sale today, so go to Amazon.com.
Buy.
Check that out. Yes, buy the book. Definitely buy the book. Originally,
while you're there,
we weren't
buy the buy the WTR t-shirts.
CBRadio.com.
Yes. Originally, we were going to go with no one on the 15th, but a funny thing happened on the way to the ballpark. I was able to talk to a fellow baseball fan like Spug and myself. Mace will be plugging his ears at that point. He will talk wrestling with us, but the man who got us nominated for Media Interview of the Year, the Wrestling Radio Awards, the king of old school, the king of kings, and one of the biggest Philadelphia Phillies fans there is, Steve Corino, will join us on the 15th, weather permitting and household permitting. To talk baseball, talk Ring of Honor, talk 01. He's actually leaving for 01 this tomorrow evening, so we wish him a safe trip there. If you are a fan of World Championship Wrestling like I was back in the day, you know that March 26th is the day that the music died for World Championship Wrestling. March 22nd. We will be having, there will be no news this night. There will be no TNA news. There will be no WWE news. It will be a two-hour show, maybe a little longer, depending on the response we get from our two folks that are going to be on the show. I am going to now tell you that during the 9 o'clock hour on March 22nd, former WCW commentator, former TNA commentator, man who was in the house, literally sitting at the commentating table. He was a groomsman in my wedding. Scott Hudson will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour.
Alan. Yeah. Scott Hudson being on the show is just pure mayhem. Just saying.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. We may have a Mark Madden sighting. Who knows? Or some other moron. Many people have said, okay, you talked a wrestler. Who could you possibly get that could shock us? Okay, I'll shock you. He was with WCW before it was cool to watch WCW. He was a rookie with the company. He was involved in the NWO. If you watched the couple weeks after Arn Anderson retired, he played Kurt Hennig. He had a severe neck injury. His mother was a tag team champion. Buff. Marcus Alexander Bagwell will be here March 22nd, 10 p.m.
Mark, we got Buff Daddy.
We got the Buff Daddy. I want to know if he's. I want him to wear the hat that he used to wear on Nitro. I was like, wow. Now before we go, let me do my thank yous. Thanks to the big bosses, Jason Dedrich, Brad Dykens, Tim Stein, to Spud, to Mace, to Jerry Lawler, Simon Says, Eric Cooper, Eddie Torres. We're big about charities here. I do charity work all the time with the Jerry Peters Memorial Cup. But Mace, last year had a very interesting charity come around involving, of all things, a video game. And it looks like they're going to start doing that again soon, Mace.
Yes, once again, Mario Marathon, the annual charity event for Child's Play Charity, who provides toys, video games, and books to parents of children who are stuck in hospitals worldwide. They will once again be running their annual, well, Mario Marathon. This is where you get to see a group of people sit around and play video games, and how much they play is based on your donations. The event itself will be starting June 24th at 11 a.m. However, they are currently taking donations for level unlocks. What this means is for every predetermined level of donations, it unlocks more levels in the video game. So the marathon thrives and continues based on donations. The more you donate, the longer these guys have to play, and it gets really funny when they're really sleep-deprived. So head on over to MarioMarathon.com, start donating now, donate during the actual marathon itself, you get the shout-outs and everything. These guys put on wacky antics, they do dances, they wear Mario-themed costumes, all sorts of stuff. These guys are really, really dedicated to what they're doing, and they have a million and one things going on, including achievements, because we all love, you know, game players love to make their E-Pains bigger. So they have their own list of achievements, so help them achieve that. Donate. Head on over to MarioMarathon.com.
And as mentioned, we'll be back here next Tuesday night with Joel Aronitis, Road Warrior Animal. The music tonight was provided by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Don't forget, March 14th, I believe it's going to be on Fuse TV, since VH1 I don't believe is involved anymore. Brooklyn Zone, Erasmus Hall High School Zone. I know because my mother went to the same high school a couple years apart. This gentleman went to school with Barbara Streisand, and those damn Red Sox play this song every game.
Yes!
We sing it, Spug. Taking us out. Take it, Neil Diamond. All in the World of Wrestling Radio. We're out of here.
Was in the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Look at
the night